Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Without the fame, I must still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV. In the park or I'll be a
Sharp Cannon Kodak, Top Coat Cashmere, Will Camo Kojak, Wrist and Neck, Drip Drop, Clip Pop, Hold That, Romaine, Hand Up, Stand Up, Know That, Wasn't Always Rosé, Click Yeah, Viva, Miami for the weekend, Eatin', Shima, Pull Up, Valet Park Car, Bima, Remember Being Flat Broke Till I Had Enoch, Had to Get My Change Up, Pit, Change Up, Like a Flat Tire Side of the Road, The Right Time with the Right Grind, Climbing the Rose, Rock Diamonds to Glow, Ice Blind Them and Show, Heard Lights to Slide in the hole, it's my way or the highway. Iron the toe, yes, I'm a pro. Press iron the foes, talking what I walk, talk, never the foe. Yeah,
you never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Chick like who him, in the low bubble, trouble with the low brim, running no huddle, double the score, Tom Brady, Mercedes, settle the floor, won't settle with all, middle finger the loss, parquet, bread and butter, but I hunger for more, look closer, I'm the one you tried to ignore, mimosa, what I said, starting my mall, while these other niggas playing, cute playing and show, beachfront, she can front if she want, trust. Cause never will I change my course or rearrange my thoughts to be arraigned in court. But no game, it's public. I'm no lame, know how to get dough, get low, the flow flame. My desire is fire, saliva, propane. Q, turn it up, flick, the pitch is always the same. Yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Do it big, Chris Wallace. Any night, take flight, St. Thomas. First class recliner, wine and empanadas. Stay sky high, call the frequent flyer mileage. Touchdown land, couple grand like Cuba. Chick shirt cooler, something like Zamunda. Blue water, white sand, Ronas in the cooler. Cue Mr. Dos Equis, come correctly. Chilling, crushed linen, mocha loafers, Giuseppe's, huh? They told me that it can't be done, so why I'm feeling like a champion. Thought you was fancy, huh? Guess you drew like Nancy Dunn. Shed a tip for every lappy run. Real rap, cause on track, he El Capi son. Hand out, can't hand you none. Guess it happens, Lights, camera, action, one. Deuces.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back. I am your host, Rich Money, and welcome to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out and thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a great show. We had up-and-coming artists, LC, and we played Tish Nash's single, I Wanna Know. He also let us know about the Don't Trip single he did with Donnell Jones. He went on tour with Rakim. He did open showcases for Full Force, BBD, Nia Sky, and so on. He filled us in about his next single and what's going on with that. We also had Annie on the show for the GQ General Question. And last but not least, last week we had Minister Arthur Lee Weatherby, and we talked about his book. To hear last week's show, you will go into the archives. You type up www.blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace, and check out the archives. Now, tonight, we have a spectacular show for y'all. First, we have Brian Hoover coming up with the GQ General Question. Then we have up-and-coming R&B sensation, Jess Patrick, and we'll be playing his smashing single, Separated. After him, we have one of the biggest promoters in New York, Losing Isaiah Francis, in the building. And we're going to find out what's going on with him and his next big events that he got going on. And for tonight, our special guest appearance will be Walter Williams from the OJs. That's right. Walter Williams from the OJs will be in the building. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with Brian and his GQ General Question. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Every week for nothing. They're wasting their time.
You should be locked up. You should be locked up.
My car is a family man. They keep bringing them up here. What's going on here?
Have you heard what you did to women and children?
One more outburst like that, and you will all go to jail. I'll apologize, Your Honor.
I apologize.
Yeah, you know, she ain't clear.
You wanna sit more on my living room floor? Play Nintendo, receiving me home. Pick up my phone, say, Papa, not home. Sex all night, mad head in the morning. Spin my beads, smoke all my weed. Touch you on top, saying, big pop, I take it. You wanna be my main sweet baby? Don't you? You wanna give me what I need, baby? Won't you? Picture life as my wife, just think. Foot left, me, fat, X, and O, mix. Breakfast to match, conversation was all that. Showed you the same combinations and all that. Guess you could say you was the one I trusted. Who would ever think that you would spread like mustard? Things got hot, you sent bed to my spot. Took me to court, tried to take all my got. Another intricate plot, the tramp said I raped her. Damn, why she wanna take me for my paper? My mosquito hole, my Versace, I see. Come to find out, she was hitting everybody. You knew about me, the fake ID. Cases in Virginia, Bobby in D.C. Will always be, that's what I get for tricking. Came out
all set at $1 million.
Licking the doorway in the fourth floor. Won't get hurt with Papa, don't hit me no more. Disrespect my clique, my game's imperial. Mess around and made a milk box material. You feel me? Stealing chips, running your lips. Cause of you, I want some real.
Bimbo flow, just a little something to let you play a hater's number.
like Dons and Divas. Welcome back to GQ Palace Radio. And with me right now, I have Brian Hoover. Brian, welcome to the show. Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. What's going on, Brian?
Not much, man. Chilling.
I want to thank you for joining us this evening. It's definitely an honor having you on. I know you're a busy man. You got things you're doing and everything, but I appreciate you taking the time to join us on this general question here.
No doubt.
Now, would you like to tell listeners a little something about yourself?
I'm married, I'm a father of four teenagers. I run my own small DJ company. Even, you know, I record a little bit of local rappers around my area, too. So anybody listening can get at me.
Okay, so you're DJing, too. So that means we got to have you on for another segment.
Yeah. Most definitely.
We got to definitely have you on for another segment, man.
Oh, for sure.
Let everybody know about those skills, not only mentally in his general questions, but physically on those timetables, mixing and all that. You know,
yeah.
However they do it now, I don't know if it's done. I know it's like a CD thing now. I have a DJ, so I don't know all that, but I know they doing something where it's crazy with it.
For sure, yeah.
Okay, now, what's your topic for this evening?
Well, my topic today is, what are the role of women in hip-hop and R&B music industry, or in my opinion, the lack of, and compare that to the women 20 years ago?
So compare the women now in the rap music industry compared to the women back then?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, I ain't heard that one before. You bring up a female topic for these rappers. Okay, I ain't mad at you. All right,
yeah.
Dons and Divas, phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to give your point of view on Brian's topic or stay on the line to hear the show. Well, me personally, the female rappers that's out now, because, you know, before, you know, it was Lil' Kim, it was Foxy Brown, exactly.
Adina Howard.
Eve, you know, Eve is a rapper. You know, really,
yep.
Remy Ma was sick with it. Remy Ma was definitely sick with it in the rap game. Back then, you had, we talk about like Sha Rock, Roxanne Shanté, who was like MC Light, and that's
Miss Melody.
Yeah, that's a pretty good topic to bring back. Because how would you actually put all those female rappers in one category? Would you actually say the female rappers that's out now is doing more than the female rappers that's out back then? Because the female rappers that was out back then was giving a message. Nowadays,
yeah.
You got females like Lil' Kim, who's like Rated X and Nicki Minaj, and you understand? So it's it's like the format of the way you put that. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to think about it. You know, the women 20 years ago, they had that specific message. Even, here's one song in general, Queen Latifah's Unity.
Okay.
Where they stood up against the men, you know, from belittling them. You know, they didn't want to be called bitches and hoes. They wanted that respect.
Okay.
Now it's more
okay.
like of a loose cannon. In today's music, when it comes from women or the lack of women in the industry.
So you feel like, let me ask you, so you feel like the female rappers that was out back then was putting themselves in a classy category compared to the females that's out now that's rapping?
Well, I just think they just commanded more respect because as generally, you know, the male rappers will kind of demean the women in music. And those
mm-hmm.
women who were, you know, who worked just as hard as the men did in the music industry, they wanted that respect. It's now like today is, you know, the women, I guess they got to get in where they fit in. They got to play
okay.
that man part. We'll take
okay.
all that disrespect in as long as I can get my money, as long as I can be successful.
Okay. for people that's on the line, because the phone lines is on fire. To make a long story short, Brian's topic is, how do you feel about the female rappers that was out back then compared to the female rappers that's out now? Do I don't want to change the general question around, Brian, so I prefer for you to explain it to the listener, because the lines is on fire, and I don't want to change the general question around into something that I said, which is not what you said, so I want you to repeat it again for me.
All right. Oh, we do that right now?
Yeah, do it right now. Yeah, my phone lines is lit up.
Hey, we want, in comparison of women of R&B and rap today, do you see the, what are their roles in comparison, basically? What's their roles in comparison from now and from 20 years ago?
I mean, that's a good question. Because, to me, like, Queen Latifah was just sick with it. Queen Latifah, who she had, Moni Love, you understand? Who could you place into that category? See, me personally, I would see like a whole different category because the millennium had changed. And you got Lil' Kim, who actually brought out the Radio X thing that you know, where she's like, all right, you could call me a bitch, excuse my French, but a bad one. You understand?
Yeah.
Not in a dirty, profound way, but in that high-life, diva way of being one. You understand? And to me, that's where Nicki Minaj come in, because to me, Nicki Minaj is something like, she's trying to come in something like Lil' Kim, but in a split personality type of a female rapper.
Yeah.
You know? And then you got Remy Ma. Remy Ma, she locks up. I guarantee you, when she come out, she's going to be crazy with it. You understand? Because before she went out, she was doing her thing. You understand? He was sick with it.
Even now, they have a whole list of underground female artists that are not mainstream like Nicki Minaj. Here's one example, like Jean Grey. Now, if you compare how the women, their appearances from women 20 years ago to the underground women today, I mean, I kind of see how that will falter is because Main Street doesn't want to deal with that type of image or that message because it won't sell to the general public. And a lot of things, sex sells a whole lot.
Yeah, it does. Sex do sell a lot. So it depends on how you actually go by presenting it, you know. But we actually have our first caller, and we're going to bring them on right now, all right?
Yeah.
All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you on the air. GQ Palace Radio, did you hear the topic for the evening?
Yes. I'm going to say the females today, they're more, how would I say that, valiant with it. They're more vulgar with it. But back in the day, you know, the women had more respect. Lil' Kim, all of them now, they don't care. They're loose. It's no comparisons really with 20 years ago. With, you know, Natalie Cole, Aretha, none of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no comparison.
Okay. Well, that's understandable. Okay, because you took it back to that. Those are the
queen of soul.
You took it back to the queens. Ain't none of them getting next to them. Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, Aretha Franklin.
Exactly.
Ain't none of them getting next to them.
But you know what? If you look at these females, I mean, honestly, look at Patti, look at Aretha, and look at the rappers and the female singers today. Patty them look just as good as they do.
Okay.
You gotta give them the props.
Yeah, they don't even have that real singing ability.
They don't.
Beyonce is probably the only one out there now that actually has vocals. You know, she can tune up, two down, and actually can sing.
Right.
In comparison to everybody else out there that's trapped on autotune or some kind of vocal fixture.
Well, you got. Because you can't, me personally, wait, let me bring another caller real fast. I want to bring another caller, all right? You're going to bring another caller real fast.
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Okay, how you doing? Did you hear the topic for the evening?
Yeah. Well, repeat it. Everybody kept talking.
Okay, got it, Brian. Go ahead.
What are the roles of women in the hip-hop and R&B music today in comparison to the women 20 years ago?
Okay. Well, I think that now, I think people, instead of really focusing on their lyrical skill, I think it's more so of what they're, you know, the lookalike. What they looking like, what they have. Like, I mean, when you look at some of these artists, instead of being who they are from the jump, everyone's going for the surgery. I mean, you know, and then it's like they kind of low-rate themselves opposed to stepping into the scene with the elevated mentality. It's like, you know, kind of real gutter. No, I think it lacks class and tact. That's what I think. There's very few female artists who really represent themselves in a ladylike way. That's my opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and it's, I mean, and, you know, I even look at the Little Kim. When Little Kim first stepped on the scene, Little Kim, she wasn't unattractive. Now she looked like the mask. You know what I'm saying?
She looked bad.
And she looks horrible. She looks like Michael Jackson. Like, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, that's just my point of view. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying it was a time when people would get on. Okay, look at the MC. Like, they would get on, and even when Lil Kim first started, she had some rap skills, but then it switched off from what she could throw on the mic to, you know, oh, I'm swallowing babies. And it was like, instead of trying to promote your skills and abilities, it was more like, you know, man, I gotta get on my knees, you know, sucking dick for some chump change or something stupid like that.
Come on, we have all types of listeners on here.
Okay, but I'm saying, it's just that, you know, now it's like people getting real grimy, you know, real cheap with it. You know, there was a time when singers, artists, I mean, come on, we got all the auto-tunes. Half these broads can't even sing. I mean, come on now. I mean, seriously, it's just, like, I like Nicki Minaj, but if you really tune into what she's saying, what is she really saying? You know, it's more of the painted, oh, my Barbies, and, you know, it's more like Toys R Us stuff.
She's trying to fill in a Little Kim spot with a little split personality. That's what I see Nicki Minaj is doing.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I would say Little Kim is a lyrical. She is lyrical. It's just the way she approaches it. She put it in a sexual vibe. That's why if you look at the video Get Money, you see she had Vanessa Del Rio in there, the famous porn star.
Yeah.
Right, you but it's always about, it's always, when you look at it, it always go full circle back to selling behind. It's like you're a hooker on the mic.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, am I making sense? It's like, it's straight up, you know, it's totally, I mean, come on, you got to go get, like, your butt blown up, your boobs done, you got to get, all the plastics and dramatics, all for what? That's not representing you as a rapper or an artist, you know what I'm saying? Instead, you get lost in the painting, you get lost in the dramatics of the game instead of you really sitting the game. When Nicki Minaj came out, when Lil Wayne found her, she didn't get picked up because she was with her ass up, I mean, with her behind up in the air. She got picked up because she was throwing some good stuff on the mic. You know what I'm saying? Now they come and bring you in like some sort of circus clown. You know, come on now.
Soon as she hit mainstream, it changed.
You got to look like a clown and act like a clown. For what? Be who you are. You know, some of these rappers, like, I got to tell you, I see Jadakiss on the corner, on blocks, all the time. Dude is doing, he can rap, bottom line. He's good with it, you know what I'm saying? And he can rap. You have too many people out here who get lost in the hype and lose their talent as an artist.
Well, then you gotta
Am I making sense?
Yeah, you're making sense, but you gotta also think about the fact of what type of promotional business they're dealing with. You understand? Because
right.
You don't got
I mean, people want to sell. People want to sell. And the sad thing is, listen, prostitution is like the oldest profession on the face of the planet. Let's keep it real. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. And half of these people are just basically hooking on the mic. You know, they get past all of the, oh, you was a good artist at one point, and now you like a 2 cent hooker on the block.
So you feel like the music that Lil Kim and are making is just to explode themselves? Or you don't feel like it's to get, you know, their fan base, you know, the dudes, the females, or try to change the style? Because look at Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne was the first one who started with those pants stacking on the awards. Next thing you know, you see everybody walking around with their pants stacking.
You said, kids, Lil Wayne be wearing Vans sneakers.
I said pants. His pants sagging off his
butt.
Oh,
they've been wearing that. That's that little jail mentality. That's another
that's another
stupid clown
award.
Too. You know what I'm saying? Coming in with your butt crack out. Who want to see that?
So exactly. So listen, that's what I'm saying. You don't think Nicki Minaj is trying to do a protocol towards people, like calling herself Barbie and everything?
What it
like...
is that she wants to be whatever they want her to be instead of being who you are. See, that's what
exactly.
I'm trying to stress. Instead of being who you are, they let the industry shape and mold them into what the industry wants at that moment, which usually makes them fly-by-night artists. See, that's the part that they really miss. They don't have staying power because it's going to be the next Barbie. You know, let the next chick who comes out that looks cuter than you, her surgeon pumps up her butt bigger than yours, then what? Then what you have to fall back on? Am I making sense with that?
Okay, so mainly you feel like it's more of an appearance thing about yourself, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I feel that it's more so about people trying to do the, oh, look at me now thing instead of being who they are. Stop with that, the smoke screen and mirrors. Am I making sense?
Oh, perfect.
Well, you gotta do stuff for the people for you to catch a person's eye. You understand? When you're in that music industry, you gotta do stuff. You gotta say stuff so people can catch their eye. Like Lil Kim, when she first came out and she was talking, the first thing everybody was saying was like, what she just said? You understand? So now she's giving these kids the feeling like, all right, well, I could say this, I could do that. You understand?
Right.
So my thing is
well,
giving
the thing
a person...
Is, my thing is I feel what you're saying, but the thing is that they get swept away on what they skills are. You don't understand what I'm saying? Real talk, when Nicki Minaj came out, people was talking about her basically, oh, this underground chick who could spit it, blah, 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 blah. And that was the repertoire that she had. Then you turn out to be what? What's left? You know, what's left after that?
She went after
you
that.
Know?
That's when she got on mainstream.
But
and
see, the thing is, yeah, you're mainstream, but who are you as an artist? That's what I'm saying. How are you really representing yourself? I feel like this. If you can't be who you are, then you're whack. Because that's the whole thing about being an artist is being unique and being yourself. Not,
and building an appearance about yourself.
What you
that's
said?
And building an appearance about yourself. Now, let me give you an example. If you was an artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you came out, and you hot and everything, and you got on your sneakers is all messed up, and your jeans is all nasty looking or whatever. That record label, knowing you got some type of skills to bring them that money, they're going to do an appearance for you. To make
right,
you
but see,
the
that's
car
where
car
stylists
more.
Come in. See, it's a difference between a stylist and then a wingtip sitting up there looking like a straight-up wingtip. You're a wingtip.
So exactly. So you felt like, that's what I'm saying. So when she was underground, Nicki Minaj, you felt like she was a wingtip. Her style.
No. When she was underground, she wasn't a wingtip. No. When she was underground, she was doing her thing. She was her. She wasn't coming out with the fake this and that. You know what I'm saying? For the crowd, she was just her. Uncut. That was what it was. One person I always will respect is Mary J. Blige because, you know what? She keeps it real all the time.
Well, Mary J.
Like,
Blige is a queen. She's not
going to...
Yes, sir.
You can't put her in that. You can't put Mary J. Blige in the category.
No, you can. You can put a. You can put her in the category because just like you have some artists, and the reason you could put anybody in that category who's willing
That's like trying to put. See, like everybody say, Biggie Smalls and Tupac. They tried to put them in the same category. You can't put them
totally
in the same category.
Two different types of horses.
Exactly. So that's why
I'm saying
you got Mary J. You got Mary J, you got Nicki Minaj. You can't put Mary J with it. Mary J is up here. Nicki Minaj is down here. Mary J is the queen of pop, the queen of R&B. Mary J, when she does her song, she does it with style, class, and finesse. Even if she wear the high boots.
Yeah, but see, I can respect her point, though. I can respect the point because when Mary does her things, that's how she keeps it. She doesn't sell out to mainstream.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
She won't sell out the mainstream at all. That's why a lot of artists that was coming up from the late 80s into the mid-90s, they got wiped off the map because they wasn't trying to do the Foxy Browns and the Lil' Kim stunt. That wasn't them.
Exactly.
You got to realize, in the music industry, everything changes.
Yeah, it changes, but how much of a change do you need? You know, I would have an epiphany if one of my two girls come in one day and say, I want to be like Nicki Minaj, I'm going to have a Fred and Sanford moment. She doesn't say anything that will appeal to them, that will educate them through music.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody, that's what's different. Just like the male rappers. African Bambaataa and all of them. IPC, Grandmaster Caz, L.A. Sunshine, all of them, they was giving messages. Nowadays, you got a lot of rappers that's not giving messages. They talking a gun thing. You understand?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they giving messages. They giving messages. They giving them cornball messages.
No, they're not giving messages.
Seriously, they just talking out the side of their neck right now. For the most part, I mean, it's very rare that you can listen to a song.
But you gotta realize,
that's why I kind of like Jay-Z, because you can listen to him and he actually makes sense about what he's saying. You know, I feel that a real rapper is someone who can play with words. That means your vocabulary has to be tight.
So you feel like Jay-Z's a real rapper, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you feel like Jay-Z's a real rapper. So
yeah.
When that was going on between him and Nas, did you feel like Jay-Z did better than Nas in that situation?
Oh, damn.
Let's get it back now.
Hold on.
Did you feel like Jay-Z did better than Nas? See, because for the simple fact of Jay-Z's a good rapper. See, but you got to realize when you're rapping, that's why a lot of people don't know, Nas is a lyrical rapper.
Yeah, poet.
Nas, but what Jay-Z does, Jay-Z put that music together where it's so extraordinary where he could sing stuff that little kids can repeat. You know, Nas used those big words that little kids can't repeat, but he's still lyrical. That's why I say in a rap game, it's like a whole totally different vibe on certain situations.
Well, see, you know what? Okay. Nas might say something. All of the rappers could write things that kids can repeat. But the thing is this. If you're talking about rappers or artists, basically who's holding true to the game, I'm going to have to say Jay-Z holds true to the game. Nas holds true to the game. Biggie, he was very unique. Tupac, I felt Tupac was one who conformed.
Tupac was very lyrical.
He was very lyrical, but Tupac switched up. You know, he ran over to the West Side, which was cool.
Tupac was versatile.
Listen, I'm from Manhattan, New York. Tupac, don't get it twisted. I think he had skills. But when he went down there with the big wingtip Suge Knight, you know what I'm saying? That was like the beginning of the end for him. You know what I'm saying? You was talking about somebody who had his own flow. You know, now he got to switch beat because he got to do what's most acceptable. You know what I'm saying? Come on now.
Now he got to fit into the
West Side crew.
No, I don't think it was all about that. Tupac, I believe Tupac always set his ground straight. Whatever he went through, you understand? And I feel like he did that music even though it was West Coast, because that's what he wanted to do. Me personally, the way Tupac Hope was, I feel like if he didn't want to do something, he wouldn't have done it. That's right. The way I feel. That's my theory. So by him going to the West Coast, what he was doing was he was going with the people who he felt looked out for him. You got to remember, Suge Knight bailed him out of, I think it was 1.4 or 1.2 million, something like that, and got him out of jail. You understand? So he's going to go with that man that helped him out. That man bailed him out. When he was dealing with all the rest of them, nobody was there to actually help him out. It was like, all right, you're going to stay in there. Just like the situation with Sean and Puffy. You understand?
Yeah, that was a clownery.
He felt like Puffy should have got him out. Puffy didn't go get him out. You understand? But it's a lot of ways to look at it when it's going into the music industry.
Well, I'm going to say that I think that that this industry right now, there's a very few artists that have real staying power. There's very few that they're going to be talking about in the next decade. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these artists are fly-by-night. You know, and another thing is a lot of them are living in the shadows of old artists. Like, for instance, I like Rick Ross. But, I mean, real talk, with Rick Ross, he's nibbling off of Biggie's swag with his hump. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing he's nibbling off of. Then if you listen to some of the records, you got Puffy and them trying to compare him kind of to Biggie. Oh, talking about next to my man Biggie. There's a song where Puffy says that in the song about Rick Ross.
Oh, you understand
what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is when people accept stuff like that, they lose their own originality. Am I making sense? Like, who are you? Stop living in somebody else's shadow.
Okay, well, you could say that. Well, I agree. You could say that in his shadow, but you could also say he's just trying to keep his name alive.
He keeps his name alive. Dude is on records and he's been dead for how long? They got enough information.
You know.
They got movies about him. Are we keeping him alive? His movies keeping him alive. The royalty's still running in. No, it means you can't stand on your own 2 feet.
Hey, yeah, Jay-Z used to do that. Jay-Z used to spit a lot of Biggie's rhymes. And, you know, they said the same thing about him, too.
But this is the kicker. In regards to Jay-Z, let's keep it real. Jay-Z and Biggie was tight, for real, for real. They from off the same block.
Yeah.
Okay. Understand what I'm saying? Seriously, real talk, Jay-Z and Biggie Smalls were friends for real. For real. So that's different. And, like, he'll say, my man Biggie. Yeah, that was his man for real.
But nobody's
trying to compare Jay-Z to Jay-Z to Biggie.
Well, you can't. You can't compare.
I know, but the thing is when Jay-Z kicks something of his, when Jay-Z mentioned Biggie in the rap, it's almost as if he's giving him credit. It's like in writing. If you use somebody else's work, you have to give a citation of where that word comes from, or you can be sued. If you use somebody else's work and don't cite where you got it from, then you can be sued. If he's biting or saying something that Biggie's notoriously known for saying and don't give him credit, that's how it kind of balances out by him giving him credit.
All right, hold on for 1 minute. We have another call on the line, but the phone lines are lit up. So, people, if you want to join in the conversation that's on the line, all you got to do is press 1 to join in the conversation. If you're on your PC, dial 646-200-3838 and press 1 to go on the air. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
How you doing?
I understand what the sister is saying. Now, I'm speaking from a whole different perspective. I'm not of the hip-hop era. I go way back in total, way back old school R&B. But I do really understand what she's saying, and it transcends any type of genre of any type of thing that you're talking about. It's all about being true to your profession and true to your art. And she's absolutely correct. But what is driving all of that is the fact that you have artists that are beholden to their record company. The record companies are fronting them all kinds of money for them to walk around looking the way they look, doing everything
that they can.
So when they do that, if they tell you that you're supposed to, they want you to look like this because the demographic report says that this is where we believe that you're going to generate the most revenue for us, then guess what? That's what they're going to do. And that transcends any type of a genre at all, to be honest with you, fellas. I see it in the area with it, when I'm more familiar with in the spiritual realm. That has happened with folks that came out many years ago as preachers that were preaching on television. They're totally different now than what they were when they started out.
It is.
Because now they're playing to the crowd.
Exactly.
My question would be then, will you hold the music industry accountable for the women position then? Because if you look at the underground scene, there's a lot of underground women, and they just won't sign to that major record deal because they don't want to go through the, you know, the paint me up so I can fit the type of crowd that you want me to.
Oh, absolutely. Now, here's another analogy that I made fairly recently. I tell you, two people right now, they need to go in their pockets and dig out all the money they can and give Madonna every penny they got. Lady Gaga and Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Them are carbon copies of Madonna.
Yeah. But you know what? And here's the kicker about them being a carbon copy. After it's all said and done, who are you at the end of the day? You don't even make your own name. The point of being an artist is setting your own trend. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a rap Little Kim used to say. And I'm going to quote you, Little Kim. Get your own ish while you riding mine.
Yeah.
Get your own style. Get your own swag.
But you know what?
But
you got to realize, when Little Kim came out, that was her style. Nobody thought about that style when she came out. Even though it was like sexual or whatever, and she's talking about sucking and swabbing and all that.
But that's the thing. She even lost that. She's so busy trying to rumble with these wingtips instead of trying to keep her game tight. Forget them, do you? If you have real skills in art, it will show. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to sit up here with your butt bumped up in the air waiting for the next quick fix.
And you know what? You're absolutely correct, because I know an artist that did exactly that. Prince.
Yeah.
Prince did that.
Did
he
what?
He took control of his craft.
Prince wasn't going to be trying to be bent into something else. Prince was always Prince. And you know what's funny about Prince? Prince can come out there, the only man I know that can come out in high heels and curls and never be accused of being a flaming flamingo.
That's right.
But Warner Brothers tried to
manipulate him.
Yeah,
and he
exactly.
said, you know what? I'm switching
that
up. I'm going to switch the game. I'm not going to even call myself Prince no more. I'm going to be the symbol formerly known as.
That was because his label under that moniker.
That was because his label couldn't let him out of his contract. Was trying to rape him on the low.
Yeah.
So he said, okay, until my contract dies, I'm going to go by his symbol. Don't even say my name.
And he was smart.
They also wanted him to change his music, his appearance.
That's right.
They wanted him to do a whole bunch of stuff.
They tried to get him to conform
exactly.
to something that was not Prince. And he says, no,
and
I'm not doing that.
He fought against it.
Wow.
But see, and once again, now this is the kicker, too. Once again comes the play. Throughout the outer appearances, he never lost himself as an artist. He was always,
right.
He always brought something to the table, for real. Prince always, listen, people would be the dive trying to go to a Prince concert.
Well, hold that thought. We have another call on the line. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's up? Did you get a topic for this evening?
Yes, I did.
What's the point of view on it?
I think that a lot of the artists nowadays, I'm going to say female rappers, there is no comparison to back in the day. Right now, it's more like trashy, and I'm trying to sell sex so much, and I'm trying to lose sight of everything else to me. I think they're losing sight of the positive message. They're just stuck on sex sells, and I can get some injections to make my butt big or my boobs bigger. And they're going for the sex sells versus there's young adults, there's teenagers, there's children that's going to be listening to this music. So watch what I'm saying.
Yep,
so
and then
I think it boils down to like straight trash right about now. I'm waiting to get like a good female hip hop, since it's, you know, since someone mentioned like MC Chi-Rock and Queen Latifah, I've been sitting here thinking since six, which female hip hop artist would I compare? And I can't. I don't even think there is one out there when you talk about hip hop R&B. I don't think there's anyone out there. Now, Mary J.
Who can compare,
you know,
to who?
Just compared to, like, say, MC Chi-Rock and Queen Latifah.
Here's another old school rapper who has skills. Remember Pebbly Pooh? MC Pebbly Pooh. Yep. She was from uptown. She had skills. There was a couple of them. But now these chicks are weak. And then if you listen to the lyrics, they don't even make sense. Like, seriously, they don't really do too much for you.
Yeah, no subject matter, no substance.
Right.
They
like,
don't have, like,
Jay-Z
nothing
rap
to talk about.
Right, like, look at one of Jay-Z raps. He'd be like, okay, your jeans too tight, your color's too bright. You know what I'm saying? It says
Jay-Z,
something. You know what
Jay-Z,
I'm saying?
Jay-Z raps for, like, also not for the adults, but for mainly for the little kids. That's why he does a lot of nursery rhymes. You understand?
Yeah.
Because you got to realize, like I said, with Nas, a lot of kids can't listen to Nas rhymes. You understand?
Yeah.
A lot of kids can't listen to Nas rhymes for the simple fact those big college words he be using. You understand? But with Jay-Z, they could go by using those raps and all that. So I got, you know what? I got somebody who just came in the spot with me right now. This is my man right here on the air. This is my man Bugatti. You understand? He's doing
Bugatti.
Big things with Jermaine Dupri and all that. Like, what's up, Bugatti?
What's going on out there?
Hey.
He's doing things with, like, Jermaine Dupri and all that. So he's doing big things. What we're actually talking about here right now is the female rappers from back then to the female rappers now.
Yeah, okay.
Even
the Brat was good. The Brat had skills.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think.
God, you can say something.
Even less
guys. I really think the females from back then, it's like they, I don't know. I think they was more lyrical back then.
Definitely.
You know? Yeah. I think they was way more lyrical back then. You know, that's all I can say. I like Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown.
Let me tell you, Foxy had some things. Remember when she did the song "The Firm"? That hook was hot. When she did the, you know, flipping it up, switching it to 50. This adds up to this. That was a hot one. Little Kim used to have some good ones. I think MC Light. I think she was good. I think Queen Latifah had skills. Okay, just a few of the female rappers. I even think, whatchamacallit, the Brat. She has skills, too. And let's not forget EVE.
Yeah,
there's a couple of them. And mind you, like, they had their little glamour. Look at Queen Latifah now, chick for cover girl, okay? Getting jacked on 125th, and now she's a cover girl. But, okay. Anyway, She was another one. Even Queen 10, even though Queen 10 didn't get a good run, she had a little skills. And that chick who used to sing, remember 5 o'clock in the morning, what you gonna do? Remember that one? They had skills, but it was like, okay, your promotional team didn't get you out there the way they could have got you out there. But like I said, there's a lot of people like, okay, look at Rihanna, real talk.
Okay, what about Rihanna?
Now, mind you, Rihanna, if it wasn't for the blessing of the studio, auto-tunes and pumping it up, Rihanna can't give a show with just her and a mic in a live orchestra. She couldn't sit up there and really blow. as a singer, and she's a singer. She's a singer. You know what I'm saying? It's like with Jay-Z song, a lot of these people T-Painting too much. And that goes with everybody.
Yeah, but T-Pain, you know, a lot of people don't realize Auto-Tune really been out before T-Pain.
It's been out since
that day. Talking about guys like Zach Rogers, Roger Zapp, he can actually sing. He can sing with Auto-Tune. Taylor Riley can actually sing. T-Pain just can't.
Okay.
Exactly. But you have a lot of these people who, if it wasn't for the Scarfless the studio, they would be done. Done. And then those are the ones who really got to sit up there and sell their behinds instead of coming to the table with skills because they really don't have none. I mean, Nicki Minaj, half of her stuff is auto-tuned up. Come on, let's keep it real.
Okay, yeah, but see, but the point was, okay, let me ask you something. If you had to go, who could you actually compare these new females with, these new female rappers to these old female rappers? Who are you
okay,
compare
if
with?
I had to compare, first of all, Nicki Minaj is a knockoff of Lil' Kim. Let's keep that real. Okay, second of all, let's see. We got, I like Rick Ross' big husky bear, but Rick Ross is a knockoff of Biggie Smalls. You know what I'm saying? I swear, I don't know who told him to get on stage without a shirt, but they should have shut him down.
Oh, see. That was not getting personal.
That was wrong.
What was the homeboy? What was his name? Big Bone Thugs or whatever his name was?
I'm sorry, but I could not listen.
Now you want to question the man's body.
I was wrong for that, but I'm sorry. He was even wronger for doing that. Seriously.
Exactly.
That was just so wrong. I'm serious.
What's the name? Big Bone or whatever his name from Bone Thugs, whatever the big guy?
Oh no, yeah,
Bone Crusher. There you go. He was actually the first one who came on without a shirt.
Yeah, and he should have been gunned down, but it was okay. They let him live. That was wrong.
And he should have kept that shirt on.
Yes, exactly. He should have. I agree.
And then jumping up and down. Oh my goodness, he should have been walking slow. Let me behave. Anyway.
You got a point there.
I think that right now, seriously, if there was a female rapper to come out who really had her stuff totally together, she really wouldn't have much competition. Seriously.
I think Remy Ma, when she come out, it's gonna be a totally different story.
Oh, Remy Ma, let me tell you something. See, she has skills. She has skills, and she's a nice looking chick too. You know, she's not somebody who needs 10,000 pounds of work done. You know, she got it.
I don't think she's that bad either.
No, she don't.
She's not bad, but she disappeared. You know, like you don't hear anything from her. It's like some of the R&B or hip hop female artists that was out there. Where are they now?
I know one thing. Foxy could have stayed on the scene because Foxy was a cute chocolate chick, and she had skills. She needed to just stop fighting in them nail salons all the time.
Exactly. Well,
that's why she didn't stay on the scene.
Exactly.
A lot of her reason for disappearing is because she got cut off because they found out she was deaf. She couldn't hear out one ear. Yeah, but that's the reason why they cut her off, though. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of, you know what I'm saying?
She started getting into too much fight. That made trouble fight. The media. That's what did her.
Right.
Honey was getting ready to do a bid for fighting, okay? That's what messed Foxy up. Her attitude.
But I think when Remy gets out, I think it's going to be official. I think she's gonna come back, and she's going to be the hit, I think.
Well, Remy Ma, she's pretty good. Even that little crazy.
Come out and shut them down quickly.
Even Left Eye has some skills.
Yeah,
a little rabbit.
She was a little crazy too, though. Come on now.
Of course.
A little crazy too.
Burning up houses.
Burning up houses and stuff like that. She was a little crazy.
Burning up cars, the whole nine yards.
A real rah-rah. She was a rah-rah chick. But seriously, I think if they get a chick out there who can do something, and real talk, I mean, there's not too many male rappers who's actually doing a whole lot of something. I like Drake, right? And if you listen cool. to some of Drake, let me finish the statement before you be tripping. I like Drake, and I like him for a one particular reason is if you listen to what Drake says, you can tell the boy got plenty of education, and he has a way to play. He plays with words well. Yeah. And if it's someone who has a real trained listening ear, you hear the intelligence in the sense that he makes with BS. Like, you be like, yeah. What does that mean? Even Lil Wayne at times still, he comes up with some cute little things like, I'm not big, but I got that flame. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. It's the way people can associate words and put them together. And there's a few people out there, but there's really not too many people who's doing some real, real damage with their lyrical ability.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Brian, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, Brian, I want you to give your final thought on this topic.
Well, my final thought is that the we are definitely lacking the female presence in rap and R&B. And a lot of the underground scene is overlooked by the music corporation to sell sex, other than
okay.
not selling their talent.
All right. I definitely agree with you. You know what, Brian, it's been an honor having you on. Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
Thank you.
Is there any shout-outs you want to give, Brian?
That's my auntie on the phone. And definitely,
well,
I got a shout-out from West Michigan, man. I'm coming from Grand Rapids.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm going to give a shout-out to Big L, which was one of the...
You ain't supposed to be giving them shout-outs, but go ahead anyway. Go ahead, give your shout-outs.
I'm giving a shout-out to Big L, Killer Cam.
You know what? Listen, I want y'all all to stay on the line. Because coming up next, we got R&B Sensation, JP, Des Patrick. Then we got Losing, Isaiah Frances from one of the big promoters. And then we have Walter Williams from the OJs coming on.
Yes.
So make sure you stay right there. Brian Hover, it's been an honor having you on. And I want to thank you. I want you to stay right there. Brian Hover, Dons and Divas. Coming up next, we have JP, Jess Patrick, and we'll be playing his smashing single, Separate. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Take it. Let me love you, babe. I will make you. make the bedrock. It's hood, we don't even hear the sirens or gunshots. I'm stroking, you're floating and whatnot. Skin sticky, but no hickeys, better not. Attention tie, I'm outside the box. A pin on a balloon without making it pop. It feels like New Year's, but two balls drop. Almost at the top, now you're begging me to stop. It's a privilege to be mine. I put it all on the line. All night you can come, all day you can shop. Let the bells jingling and let the champagne pop.
12, 6, 6, 9. Round the clock, we're running high. Can you take it?
Take it.
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 Let me love you, baby.
You know what I'm saying, baby? Look down in my eyes, flooded like my chain, I could drown in your thighs. A little bit of pain brings joy to your life. Lay your head back, relax and get right. Souls unified beneath the moonlight. It's only you and I, no other invites. I wanna see you naked, watch you take it. I'm elated, so are you.
12, 6, 6, 9. Oh. Round the clock, round high. Can you take it?
Take it.
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 Let me love you, babe.
I like that, baby.
I won't make you wait.
I like that a lot.
Can you take it?
Take it.
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 12, 6, 6, 9. Round the clock.
Serious business.
Divas, welcome back. For those that don't know, that was that new thing by LL Cool J featuring Joe called Take It. But with me right now, I have R&B sensation JP, Jess Patrick. Patrick, welcome to the show. Patrick, what's going on, fam? You there?
Yeah, I'm right here, my man.
Oh, man, I really want to thank you for joining us this evening. We're going to let them hear that fire you got.
I definitely appreciate that, my man. Appreciate it.
No doubt. We're going to let everybody know about that fire you got. But right now, how did you come up with the name Just Patrick?
It's actually funny, man. I was actually, I couldn't come up with a stage name for myself, you know. And so when I actually did a couple of shows, they started introducing me as, you know, what's your name? And I'd be like, I'm Patrick. And they'd be like, oh, he's just Patrick. And it kind of just stuck. I mean, that's what it is. It's just, I'm just me. I try to be me 100% of the time in terms of what I do with my music, what I do with my creativity, my writing. And so I kind of like the feel of that, what it represents. Me just being myself, just trying to represent music, bringing good music into it. So, yeah, just Patrick, that's it.
Mm. Now, how long have you actually been, you know, singing?
Well, I've been actually singing since I've been about probably 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old, something like that. So it's been a little while. I've been, you know, I grew up singing, and I don't even know how long it's been. It's just been a long time. But I've been, you know, I've been singing. Started out in the church, you know, and then almost as most people from the South do. And then from there, you know, kind of got into the love for hip hop and R&B music, and just catapulted from there.
Mm. Mm, okay. Now, who would you say influenced you on it, and who were some of your influences on that made you want to sing?
Wow, Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder is a big one. Marvin Gaye, Michael Jackson. Let's see. On the Donnie McClurkin, anything that's good, I'll be honest with you, Eric Clapton, I mean, the list goes on and on and on for me. It's like the types of music I listen to, man. So, but, you know, those are a few of them.
Wow, okay. Now, you got True to Life Entertainment, I believe it is?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, you're the founder. How did you get that started?
The way I did is actually I went to engineering school, audio engineering school, and after college, and then I, you know, wanted to get involved in production and all of that. And so I noticed with a lot of artists is they were having a problem finding somewhere to actually showcase their talent. Actually, you know, just finding a platform for them to be able to actually do some of the things they wanted to do. So the reason why I came up with True to Life Entertainment was to give some of those artists who really had the talent and just didn't have that platform to be able to actually display that talent and push it forward, you know, on a professional level. And not only that, to educate myself, but to help educate other people in this music industry and work hard in trying to eliminate some of the stigmas that come along with it and just show them, you know, you can still do good music and still make it out in this industry even now. You just got to kind of stay with what it is that you believe in.
Okay. Well, what I want to do right now, I want to get into one of your singles, Grown Things. Grown Things. That's bang.
You got to put that bang.
You
know what I mean?
Tell us a little bit about that single.
That's definitely for the grown and the sexy. That's what that song is all about. It's about when you're with that somebody, you know, that special. It's not about just like getting in there and doing what you do, but it's about when you're with that special somebody and taking your time with it, you know. That's for grown people. So that's what that one's just all about. You know, it's like it's different than just that whole thing of the one night. It's about, okay, now you get to a certain age, you know how to, you know, you handle your business. So that's about being grown with it.
Alright. So we're going to get into that right now. Alright. Alright, Dons and Divas, here's one of his banging singles, Grown Things by Jess Patrick. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
I hope you're ready, baby. Cause I'm gonna take you all the way tonight. Can you feel that? Yeah. Tonight. I'm trying to feel your body. All over my body.
Tonight we're gonna turn off the lights and we're gonna do things, grown things, you and me. Grown things.
joint right there is fire. That joint right there is definitely fire, yo. Ain't no question about it. Now, how did you come up with that concept?
Man, I'm going to tell you what, honestly, I have moments. You have to, like, really get into my music to understand this. I have moments. I mean, that concept came when I was actually in a relationship with my ex-girlfriend at the time, my girlfriend, of course, and we was having one of those moments, and it's like the way I wanted to set it up was having a nice night, and not only just, you know, coming in and jumping to a certain thing, you know, but actually setting the mood right and taking your time with it and doing it. And it was funny because she was like, "Oh, you on your grown man tonight?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm definitely on my grown man tonight." And that's where grown things came from.
Now, what is your inspiration and goals as an up and coming artist?
My goals, man, are to. I love music. I have a unique love for it. I absolutely love music in all of its forms. I love when you can actually create a presence in somebody's life. You know, like people deal with issues and things like that, and sometimes you can actually get carried through. For example, I'll tell you, my dad was murdered. When I was in college, and
wow.
I don't know if you remember, Boyz II Men had the song "Hard to Say Goodbye."
Yeah. Okay.
That song. Well, that was one of the first times when I really got into singing and realizing that, you know, music could really touch you in a way, because it was kind of like I felt like that was speaking to me in a lot of ways. And from that point on, it became more of a passion for me to actually do music and actually touch people in different ways. I mean, even if it's about sex, if it's about love, if it's about, you know, getting through a situation or whatever. So my goals are just to be able to do music and touch people in that environment, in that thing.
Okay. Well, we have a call on the line for you. We're going to bring them on real fast. Hello, all Carl, right. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Who am I speaking to?
This is Carmella.
Carmella, oh, that's a nice name, Carmella.
Well, thank you. Look, don't be trying to make no love connection on here with me, but we can go there if we want to.
I don't know if you're a single woman. We just do what we do, right?
Make sure that we get each other's information after the show. How about that?
All right, that sounds good.
I thought it was love and entertainment, not love and connection.
Hush, Rich Money. But no, what you just said, wow, about your father being murdered and everything, I want to say, you know, hate to hear that. But
I appreciate that.
Wow. It was a very
tough ordeal to go through, you know.
Yeah, but that last song you just played, wow. I was up
like
in my feet like, yeah, okay, yeah, let's go there. But, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, hey, sometimes we have to go through a struggle to reach reality. And seem like, I ain't going to say seem like, you are doing the damn thing. And I want you to keep it up, seriously.
I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that.
You really going there, and everything is on point.
He definitely got some joints. You're going to hear them tonight.
I don't care about some fire. You need to get in contact with me.
All right.
We can see what can happen.
I love the sound of that.
She over here trying to make a love connection.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with a little love connection here and there.
Do you have somebody?
Can I ask you something, Carmella?
Hush, Rich Money. Wait a minute. Hold on. You're interfering in a serious thing right here. Okay.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how this connection is going to work.
It don't matter.
Where you from again?
I'm in Greensboro right now, North Carolina. But
that's what I'm talking about. I used to live in Winston-Salem, so it's no problem.
I used to live in New York, so you know it's all good.
And see, I'm in Jersey right now. So anywho, make sure that we get each other's information, because I definitely want yours.
All right, that sounds good.
But no, seriously, sweetie, keep up the good work, because I mean, the first song I heard is a banger, and I know it's yet to come. It's more goodness to come, so handle that.
All right, I will. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
And this is Carmella all day, every day.
Oh, Lord.
Right, Carmella all day, every day.
And oh, always remember, keep God first, baby, which I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Okay. Take 100%. Care, sweetheart.
Yeah, make sure you stay on the line.
So much.
All right. We have another caller for you, JP. We're going to bring them on.
All right.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
I want to ask you, do you do all of your own writing?
I do all of my own writing. I have actually written about 3,000 songs so far.
Okay, do you write for other artists or just yourself?
I write for other artists. I write for groups. I didn't realize it was even a talent that I had until I got in the studio. I used to do some stuff with Case. You know, Case, Catch Me, Tease Me, Case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we used to do some stuff there, and I didn't realize that writing was a talent that I had until I can get in the studio and, you know, I talk to somebody and can relate to that situation and can write a song right up. It takes me like 10 minutes and I'll have a complete song for that person. So, yeah, I love writing. That's for anybody.
Well, you know that writing is where the real money's at, right?
I'm a businessman by nature, 100%. So trust me, I studied this music industry up and down, and definitely I know that, yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So how long have you been in the industry, actively in it?
Well, I did take a hiatus. I took a hiatus and actually got into getting my business degree. So I took a hiatus, but luckily, I got up with John Jackson, who that's my manager right now. And I don't know if you remember the group So For Real. He's the guy that did them, and he's really been helping me get back into this industry and really pushing me, which I have number love for him, but he's really helped me out through this process right now. So, you know, with his help, I've been really getting back into it full gear right now. It's been about, I would say about maybe 6 months, 7 months since I've been back in it hard again. But yeah, I've been involved in the industry for a long time though. A very long time.
Okay. Well, all right. I hope you do well. You seem like you got your head together. And just have your game plan down pat, and look forward to hearing from you.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, JP.
All right.
Okay,
we have
I got one question. How tall are you?
How tall am I? I'm almost 6 feet.
Okay, 5'11". All right.
Yeah. Yeah, 5'11".
You gonna track him down? You gonna stall him or something?
Yeah.
You gonna stall the man or something? What you asking that man how tall is he?
You got the wrong person, honey.
All right. Okay, just make a show. I don't want you starting
No, because a lot of these artists, they be all short. You meet them in person, they got to look down on them. You're like, oh.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully, you don't have to look down on me. Yeah, I'm about five. I'm a little over 5'11", so it's right at 6 feet. But yeah, that's about my height.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. You're legal. You're legal height.
Okay.
All right.
Make sure you stay on the line to hear his next single. All right.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
All right, we're going to play it next. We have another caller for you on the line, JP. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you on the air. Yes,
hey.
You on the
air. Hey, how are you doing?
Good, how you doing? This is Shelly. I actually heard your song on the way home today on the Michael Mason show, and it's really, really nice. Did you hear it today?
I did.
Yeah, it was on the Michael Basin show on my way home, and I liked it. I was like, wow, that's nice. It's really, really nice. And now I'm getting
here. You was on the Michael Basin show? You ain't showing me, man.
Yeah, it was on there. It was on there tonight. Yeah, it was on there on my way home. When you played it, I was like, wait a minute. That's the song I heard on the ride.
JP, it's supposed to be played first on GQ Palace, man.
I'm sorry. But I live in Raleigh, so I'm just saying, I'm sorry.
Oh, you live in Raleigh?
Yeah, I live in Raleigh, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. Right from hometown. Okay, good deal.
Will you be
that's
coming
great,
to the Raleigh
area
to perform?
I used to, man, I love Raleigh. You know, Raleigh is second home to me, so hopefully I'll be coming there real, real soon, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, me and John
right,
are
well,
actually
good.
Working on a few things right now.
Oh, are you, like, downtown Raleigh, like, the body, ever been to the body? The club
yeah,
body?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you know about this.
Oh, yeah. I used to live in Raleigh, so I know all about Raleigh.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I wish you the best of luck and, you know, do your thing.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, JP, we have another call on the line for you. We're going to bring them on.
Right.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening. Can
Hello.
You hear me? Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi. Hi, Rich Money, and hi, JP.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I heard the song. I am definitely a fan. I love the song. I look forward to hearing the rest of your music.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you so much.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That.
You're welcome. Do you can you leave your contact information? Or can
oh,
you
yeah.
tell us?
He's going to tell us
yeah,
all
I'll
of
leave,
that. The end of
I'll
the
leave
show.
All of that, yes.
Okay, all right. I definitely will be listening in.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Work. Keep up the good work, and God bless with all that you do.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Right, JP, I want to get back to what I want to ask you, but you know what? You know, they got me so hyped. I want them to know about your next single, Separate. Tell them about that.
Oh, wow. Separate.
Yeah.
Where you going? Man, that one, I was in a different situation when I wrote that song. You know, we all go through our, you know, there are phases in life, you know, we all go through them, man. This was not one of the best phases. I was in a relationship and things didn't end up the way they wanted, you know, they needed to. But you know how when you're with somebody and you're getting to that point of, you know that it's not right for you to still be with the person, try to hold on to it, but you know that it's best that you just got to break it off. That's what the song is about. It's about when you're in that situation and you know that it's not good for either one of you anymore. It's like you're starting to lose that spark. And now all of a sudden when you come to the, you know, when you come home or when you see each other, it's, hey, how you doing? Instead of, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, and you're just going through the motions. And when the relationship gets to that point, sometimes it's better just to go ahead and before you end up losing the friendship, before you end up losing the love for the person, just to go ahead and separate and end it so you can still at least hold on to the love part of it. So that's what that song is all about. It's a hard decision to make to separate from somebody you love, but sometimes it's the best thing to do.
All right. Well, we're going to get into that one. I hope Michael Basin ain't played this one yet. But we're going to... I'm just messing with you, JT. I'm just messing with you. All right, Dogs and Demons. Here's another banger by JP / Des Patrick. Separate. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Girl, I know this might be hard. And I know it might not be the easiest thing you've ever had to hear. I think we both realize things change. And a lot of times you can't go back. And I hate that we ended up here.
Let me start by saying something I think you need to hear. Let me make sure that all these words are very clear. Girl, our record's been broken and it seems like there's a way that we can put all of these pieces back together again. I know we said that we would try to work it out, that we would do anything to make it work out, but it just seems like we can't figure it out. Instead of working it out, we keep on fussing it out. Trust, we got through every bit of it, promising that we would wake up. But the truth is, our eyes are still closed, and we done got off on the wrong road. Trying to turn this car back around and get back on the right road. But it seems like we did not end up in the right place. We both know it's just time to
up-and-coming artist and everything, who would you like to, like, open up shows for? Who would you like to, you know, if you could do it with anybody, any artist, who would you like to open up for? Even do a sing or a duet with or something.
You know, it's crazy, man, because, like, a lot of, man, I know this is, like, everybody that, you know, your normal
of course, anybody would like to do something with somebody like, you know, like the Ushers and all, and you know, artists like that, your Trey Songz, anybody like that. But, you know, honestly, man, the type of artists that I would love to do some, you know, some stuff with, or some of those that have really paved the way for all of us, like the Stevie Wonders. You know, Charlie Wilson, I mean, he's you know, artists like that to me are just, they're above and beyond. I mean, they really have been in this industry for a long time. They know up and down how the industry works, what's successful in it. And, you know, I love like some of the hip-hop artists, you know, that have been involved into it all, for a long time, too, have a longevity. You know, people like Jay-Z and artists like that also, but, yeah, definitely some of those older school, you know, some of those Gladys Knight and Stevie's and all, you know, all of them. I mean, because, like, again, I think that without them doing what they had to do to make this industry what it is today, then a lot of the artists that you see today wouldn't be here anyway.
Okay. Now, you release Complex Simplicities of Love?
Yeah, I did.
Tell us about that.
That was actually, off of when I was when we just started the True to Life label, and it was basically a maxi single. It just had like 6 songs. We did it over like about the period of about 2 or 3 weeks. We just put together some songs and wanted to go ahead and put it on iTunes and see what would happen. And it actually sold out. And I still sell copies of that, you know, as of right now. But I haven't done my full album yet. So me and John are working on a full album. Believe it or not, that's the only thing I've ever actually, in terms of truly released, that's the only thing that I've actually released. But, you know, I'm kind of excited now because this will be my first true album that we're about to work on right now. And I'm getting excited about that because we've been working on some of the songs for it. And it's coming along really good, man. So A Complex Simplicity of Love was basically, it was about a small thing about the things that you go through when you're in love. Is complicated, but it shouldn't be. It should just be simple, you know, but it's complicated. So it's kind of like a dichotomy right there. Complex, simple, complex, and simple. It's just, you know, all constant, one in between the two.
Okay, so now the singles that we just heard is not actually on, is that on that release? No, right?
No, those aren't on
okay.
there.
So...
One of the songs that actually is on there is a song I wrote called The Wedding Song, and that's actually one of my biggest, if you go to my YouTube channel, that's actually one of the biggest, The Wedding Song was actually one of the songs that I started off with. I did that live on the spot, and somebody actually recorded it, and it ended up just really catapulting and just blowing up out of the stratosphere, so I'm really happy with that, but that one is on the Complex Simplicities of Love, which I'll put it on the other album because a lot of people still request that, you know, as of this day. So,
Okay, so let me ask you, what is actually the difference between these singles that's out now and the Complex Simplicity single released? What's the difference between those two?
You know, for me to be honest with you, you know, you asked me the question earlier about what I would, you know, what my goals will be in music. Well, Complex Simplicities of Love versus some of the singles I have out right now versus a lot of the music that I have. It's all gonna be based off of a period in time. You know, I'm liable to write I've written songs that I might have a CD that's dedicated to nothing but talking about people going through situations they're in, like teenage pregnancy and trying to solve, you know, other little issues that are going on with the world, poverty and things like that. And then the next CD might be about sex. You know, it might be about love making, and the whole CD is about that. So that's a real hard question because I like to be in the moment for myself, and I know that that's kind of not the right answer, but I like to write in the moment, and I can write so many songs so quickly that in the moment I can do an album on today. I can write 13 songs tonight, and they may be all about a breakup that I had, you know, and then tomorrow I might be, you know, let's just say 2 months down the road I might be in love, and you'll hear all of these love ballads, you know. So it keeps going like that. That's how I live. You know, I live like that in the moment, how I'm feeling. So, but
But what I'm doing right now is just I'm just allowing my I'm writing what I'm feeling right now, and I'm just feeling good about life. So a lot of these songs are more upbeat, happy songs. You know, that's the difference between that and Complex Simplicities of Love.
Okay. Now let me ask you, when did you first realize that you were so gifted to write so many songs in such a short limit of time?
I realized that I actually started, when I first started singing, I was in a group. I was in a singing group, a group called No Limit. That was the first, you know, we all got our little stories that we talk about. And we were in the studio, and somebody had played like a piano track, and I'm sitting there just singing, and the guy was actually recording, and I didn't know he was recording, and he was like, you know, y'all need to write something like that. And I was like, well, I did write that. I just made that up. And he was like, no, seriously, who wrote that? And I was like, I just made that up. And ever since then, I didn't realize that it was a talent. It started to dawn on me a little bit later that, you know, not everybody does that. But if I hear something, I can actually allow myself to become a part of whatever the music is, and I can write to it. That's why I think I can write, like, you know, just huge things. Like, I think one of the callers that called and asked me, because, you know, can I write for other people? I mean, I've written albums for people like, you know, for like Mariah Carey. Not that I've done, you know, met Mariah, but I'm saying when I do, and you notice I said when I do because I am going to at some point in time, I already got an album ready for her. And a lot of other artists like that. I've already done that. I get bored with writing for myself. But I'll just start writing for other people just for the fun of it, you know. But I realized that at an early age that I had a knack for writing.
Wow. That's a gift. It's truly a gift. But, excuse me, I want to get into one more of your singles, The Joneses. Tell us about that.
Oh, wow. I know you were going to pull that one out on me. All right, The Joneses is some real deal stuff. And I know everybody should be able to relate to this one because this is about, you're in a relationship, right? And you know how you're in a relationship and it's like everybody has an answer for what you're going through, what you and your significant other are going through. So that's what The Joneses are. The Joneses are those people that's always trying to tell somebody else how they should be in a relationship. You know, they call them the chatty people, you know, both men and women. You know, they're telling you, oh, you shouldn't be with her. You shouldn't be with him. This, you know, he ain't no good. She ain't no good. Yet it's still they single. So it doesn't make sense, you know. But those are The Joneses. You know, they're trying to tell you how to live your life and what's best for you. And all of this is taken away from you being happy yourself. So The Joneses basically is to say, leave those people alone and start looking at yourself and what makes you happy. Because that's, at the end of the day, that's the only thing that's important. If you're happy with it, all those other people, they don't really matter. Let them say what they want to say, but you be happy with your relationship.
I feel you. So you know what? I want you to introduce that next track.
All right. Everybody, this right here is my next thing. What I call is right here, The Joneses, and I hope you guys love it.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Where you at? What you doing over there, dude? See, I thought we was gonna try to work this out ourselves. Nah, I'm saying it's the problem. You always running over there to them. I mean, this should be between me and you. Look, I'm on my way home, so you need to get there. I'll see you in a minute.
Stop listening to the Joneses. Stop treading and talk about our relationship. The past ain't perfect. Stop listening to the Joneses. All the time I've been our business. And this ain't perfect. And the Joneses always have something to say about everybody. And if you keep on listening to them, you're gonna find yourself with the Joneses. So it's 5:15 and I'm just getting off of work. Headed straight home, headed to see my baby. I gotta find out what is going on. She called me on the phone, I heard in her voice, she said, something's on my mind. I bet it's killing this, telling all the lies. They're breaking up the phone, girl. Stop listening to the Joneses. Stop hitting the talk about our relationship. This ain't perfect. Stop listening to the Joneses. All the time we've been our business.
Ain't
perfect. The Joneses always have something to say about everybody.
dancing with you. I bet you can't remember. And when was the last time I hung with my boy? Since I've been with you, girl. I bet you can't remember. I'm tired of the situation. Cause you don't even trust me. It's always about what the Joneses say. What about our privacy, baby? How can we talk about our relationship when this ain't perfect? I listen to the Joneses all the time. We've been up in there. This ain't perfect. And the Joneses always got something, something to say about everybody. And if you keep on listening to them, you're gonna find yourself with the Joneses.
Patrick, you doing it, fam.
Yeah.
You doing it.
I appreciate it, my man.
Yo, you definitely doing it. Ain't no question about it. Hold on. Somebody want to come on and speak to you. I believe there was a... Hold on. Hello? Patrick. Call on, are you there?
Patrick.
Oh, yeah. Here she go.
It's me again, baby.
Love.
I need all info I can get on you.
All right.
What the?
Rich Money, you need to hush for a minute, okay? Anywho, anyhow, Patrick, that one right there, your music actually turns me on, so we need to hook up.
Oh, listen. This is love and entertainment.
D-I-A
it's not love and Patrick, connection.
You stay out of this. I told you that you just fall back for a minute. It's between me and Patrick right now. He don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. Okay?
You see what I'm saying, Patrick? You're already making babies and you don't even know the person.
We ain't gonna make no babies. We'll go through the motion, but we ain't making no babies. But anyhow, I need your info, baby.
Are we going to get all that at the end of the show? All right, baby. Damn. All right, Patrick, you all that ass stuff and a bag of chips. I said that again for me. You all that at a bag of chips. Oh, I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that. Well, I hope it ain't sour cream and onion. Anyway.
I'm looking forward to talk to you.
That sounds good.
All right, sweetie. Take care.
All right.
Oh. Always keep God first.
I will do. Thank you.
All right, babe.
All right. We have another call on the line for you, Patrick.
Hello.
Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, I am. I've been listening to the show. I was one of the callers on the first song, and I just wanted to tap in again and tell you again, I love your music. Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, this is, I mean, that's honestly, hearing things like that right there is the reason why, for me, music is so important, because when someone tells you they love what you're doing, I mean, there's no better compliment that you can get than that right there. So I definitely appreciate that.
Anytime. I'm going to stay on the line and listen to the rest of the interview and all the music. And like I said, God bless you with all that you do. And I'm waiting for your contact info so I could look you up some more on the internet. And God bless. Love the music.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, JP, let me ask you, what's the next step for Just Patrick?
The next step for Just Patrick, it's kind of strange because the next step is actually, this is really happening like the way that it was intended before, to happen before. I mean, I'm blessed, man. I'm honestly blessed. John has been my flotation device when it comes to this music thing right now, because, you know, it is a hard industry. When you're trying to get into music and trying to do it, it becomes real challenging. But John, along with my family members and everybody, they've been so supportive in pushing me to continue to do this. So my next step right now is, you know, we're going to finally put this album out that we've been talking about doing. You know, and me and John are getting together. I'm actually going to be writing for some other artists. We're working on that part of the process. So that's like something I've always wanted to really get myself involved in a lot more. And we're working on like doing a music video. So, I mean, everything that I've been wanting to do, you know, he's helped me get to the next level and actually get it done. So I'm excited about this next chapter of Just Patrick and the whole music scene and being able to actually hopefully touch some people's lives and be in this thing. You know, I'm not one of those artists who plans on being in here for a month or two. I plan on being, here. I want some people to remember me down the road, you know, when I'm dead and long dead and gone, hopefully trying to remake some of my songs, you know, and talk about how good of an artist I was when I was out there.
I definitely feel you on that. Well, you know what, Patrick? It was definitely an honor having you on. You know, GQ Palace got your back. Whatever you need, you know, we're going to help you support this to get it out there. It's already out there, but, you know, like they say, it's never enough. You know what I mean?
I really
want to thank
you. Man, that's reciprocated on my end, too, with you guys. I appreciate the support and, you know, the same thing as if anything else that anything I can do for you guys, the same thing, that's reciprocated. Much love to you guys for, you know, having me on your show. I really appreciate it. Definitely.
You know, make sure you get Mariah Carey that music, man.
There you go.
Make sure you get it,
there you
Joe.
Go.
But, you know, why don't you give all the people your information?
Let me see. First of all, let me give everybody my website. I'm actually designing my website myself, so it's not completely done yet, but I'm in the process of it. You can still go to it, and you can hit me up on there, and it's justpatrick.com, and that's JustPatrick, justpatrick.com. That's the easier way to do it. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to leave it there because that's the easiest way to reach me. Now, you can get on iTunes and you can search me in all those other areas, and you just search my name and it'll bring me up. But the website, I'm just trying to get everybody to go to the website because I'm going to have a lot of things that I'm about to do on that website right now. So.
All right.
Yeah, justpatrick.com, JustPatrick.
All right. Now, is there any shout-outs you want to give or anything, Patrick?
Most definitely. I want to give a shout-out to, I can't say this enough, John Jackson for all of his support. And then I also want to give a shout-out to my brother, DJ Get Money, and my brother Tim for all of that love and support. My moms and brothers, my other sisters, all of my extended family for all the support, and all of North Carolina, UNC Chapel Hill, A&T University, UNC Chapel Hill, my alumni, all of that stuff, and just everybody for all the support that they provided and given me through this whole process, because that's what keeps me going. So, you know, just want to say thanks to everybody for that.
All right. And, you know, Patrick, you're welcome anytime. Just make sure you send us those exclusives too, man.
No doubt. I'll definitely get that done. No doubt.
All right. JP, Just Patrick, Dons and Divas. All right. Coming up next, we have one of the biggest promoters in NYC, Losing Isaiah, will be in the building. Matter of fact, he is in the building. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
wobble, baby wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, yeah.
That's what happens when you're young, you're chasing everything. When you get older, you
simmering down. You know what I mean? I'm getting older. I got my crowd of positive people. You know what I mean? I'm healthy. I'm blessed. And that's what it's about. You know what I mean?
I definitely feel you. Now, you've been doing this for 15 years.
Yeah, man.
When do you feel like you're going to be like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm done. I've reached my goal. I'm finished.
You know what's funny? It's when you do it like me, it's a hobby. Like, I have a 9-to-5, so, like, when you're a promoter and you do this shit to pay your bills, then it's like you can retire. But when you're doing it for fun, like, for me, it's a sport. And I'm supposed to retire this year. And I might retire, I might not, but when you got a job and your job covers your expenses and that party money comes in and it's extra money, it's Disney World money, you could do it pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like with me, I'm not doing no big venues where I got a police 1,000 people and worry about this gangster clashing with this gangster. I'm doing a small venue where I know everybody that's coming to my venue. And if I can make a couple of chips at the end of the day and take my family away or go to the movies at the end of the day, that's what it's about, man. So that's what I'm doing now. I got a nice little spot, OZ Tavern, every Friday. It's kind of like Cheers. Come out where everybody know your name.
Oh, all right, all right.
And get home safe to your family, man. Like, I'm them days of me promoting some big clubs, I'm done with it. But to all the new promoters, start there, grind. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm like a James Worthy of the game or Eddie Jones of the game. You know what I mean? I did that. You know what I mean? I respect the LeBrons of the game and the Kobe's and the Durant, but I'm more like, you know, I'm on my way out. You know what I mean?
I definitely feel you. Now, let me ask you, if you got somebody that come up and want to be a promoter, up-and-coming promoter, what advice could you get them to try to help to succeed?
I talk about that all the time. Like me, I follow the blueprints. Like, I sold tickets for Gator Productions. I sold tickets for Dwayne Francis. I sold tickets for Floss Inc., Dave Shu, all the best for them. I sold tickets for them. And what I did was when I sold tickets for them, I built my clientele, my own foundation. And then when I was old enough to put up my own sneakers and do my own thing, I started my own thing. But what I feel a lot of promoters should do is find that hot promoter, work for him, sell packs. It's like a drug deal on the street. You sell packs for the boss. And then when you get your own clientele, you get your own work. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to tell kids to go sell drugs, but I grew up in that era where I watched promoters and I followed the blueprint. And like I said, I sold tickets for the best of them. And my name was on the back of the flyer. And then one day, like now, my name's on the front of the flyer. So my advice is find that promoter that you think is popping, whoever it may be. Sell tickets for them. Figure out the game. And don't just become a promoter because you're getting a few dollars and you sleep on a few females. Do it because you're promoting. You're hitting the streets. You're hitting the internet, whatever it is, cyber world, whatever it is. Don't just, you know, because nowadays you got Mike Ski from Apartment 3C who's getting a couple of dollars. Now he's a promoter. Everybody's a promoter because they're doing, because they know 10 people. Nah, you gotta pay your, you gotta set your own tone, set your own way and grind. You understand?
I definitely feel you. Now, do you think being a promoter is for somebody that's in a relationship?
You know what? when you start off, I would assume that you're young and you ain't in a relationship. But if you're in a relationship, it's probably not for you unless that girl is understanding. Because, like, it can kill your relationship. Because, like, you know, that woman, she would have to be that diehard, understanding female. Because, you know, as a promoter, you're around a lot of females. And at the end of the day, when you're around that female, are you that dude where you're going to turn down every female that's throwing it at you? If you are, I salute you. But it's tough, man. So, in my opinion, if you're a relationship, it might not be for you. And then it's like any rapper. Like, you know, when, like, they try to tell Justin Bieber don't advertise that he has a girl because it might hurt his sales, you know what I mean? So if you advertise you have a girl, then that girl that like you, she might not come to your party because she knows that she can never have you. So it's like, you know, it's tough. It's tough.
Now, let me ask you. Let's say you have an event going on and you have somebody in your event that you never actually cared too much about. You knew they was always trying to sabotage your event. How do you deal with a situation like that?
From a street dude?
Anybody. Let's say somebody that you just have, you know, you have problems with, and one day you just happen to see them at your event. You understand? How do you deal with a situation like that? Do you put them out? Do you just lay low and see how they're going to react?
You never put them out. Like, I grew up in the sandwich section of the Bronx, and I never was a gangster, never portrayed to be a gangster, but I know a lot of gangsters. And the way I was taught in that 12th I was cut from, keep your enemies close. So I would never make another male feel uncomfortable because, you know, it's like a posse. It's like you trap a raccoon in the corner, they're going to attack. So you would make that person that you don't rock with as comfortable as possible. And not saying you rock them to sleep, you just don't want to do it in your business. So me personally, I love everybody. Like I could walk in any street and everybody losing out there, what's up? From the rucker, from me just being a good dude, positive. Like, I don't want no problems. I don't want to make no phone calls and call no gangsters up and all that. That's not my style. So my thing, exactly. The way I was raised, I want peace. I want everybody to have a good time, get home safe with their family. Because, like, you know, everybody want to be a killer, gangster. Majority of the killers and gangsters are in jail or just coming home from jail or dead. You know what I mean? So I'm not into all that rah-rah, woo-wang. Like, if somebody step on my shoe, you got it. Like, I don't want no problems with you, yo. Apology accepted. So me personally, I would let him stay. Like, I don't want to promise you, like, have a good time, brother. Like, I mean, more power to you.
We have a call on the line for you. Okay. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Your music is, like, on point.
Music? What music? What station you listen to? This is a promoter.
Shut up.
You ain't got no music playing.
I heard a damn song just now. So,
yeah,
what is that supposed to mean? What
you
was it?
Busta Rhymes in the background.
No. Well, okay. Anyway, what you doing?
Just drinking, Isaiah.
My album's out tomorrow.
That's why I didn't want to bring it up, because you're the one that did that movie, Isaiah.
No, that's not me.
Isaiah.
That's not me.
Oh, where
in the hell are you?
Huh?
Who are you?
This is Isaiah. He's an NYC promoter
from New York City, and I'm out here just trying to make a living for myself. Instead of knocking old ladies over the head, but they pop up and doing something.
Isaiah, so you all that at a bag of chips, so it don't matter.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Hold on. Thank you for calling. We have another caller coming on.
No problem.
Thank you for calling. I think she already at your party, Isaiah. She don't know it. Hello?
right? Where she sound, right?
Good
Let's
evening.
Get to it over. Let's go.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I am fine. I want to commend you on all of your success. I am definitely a fan. My question is, have you ever done any events or parties on Long Island?
You know what's funny? I went to Long Island University. I'm a graduate there, but I went to the Brooklyn campus. I've never thrown a party in Long Island because, you know, just think about it, me being from the Bronx, Harlem, or anything when I was in Brooklyn, if I threw a party in Long Island, I don't think my people would drive that far.
Right.
So that's why my parties are, like, even at my age now, I do majority of my parties in the Bronx because my age, people don't want to drive far after they drink. So if you do a party close, it's like, you know what, I'm going to go there 10 minutes away, I'm going to get drinks, I'm going to drive home, and I'm going to get home safe, whatever. When you do parties downtown, not saying nothing against downtown or Brooklyn or Queens or nowhere else, my crowd won't go that far. And there's a lot of places in other boroughs that's sexy, but I know I will be in there by myself because my crowd's not going to follow me to Queens because the drive back, they had a couple of bottles of whatever they drink and a couple of drinks. Now that ride back, tolls, bridges, just the whole, everybody drives nowadays. It'll be unsuccessful for me. But I've partied in Long Island before. I've been to, I think it's Taboo out there.
Taboo, yes.
I had a good time, and it was a beautiful crowd. But, you know, like, I was pedestrian. I paid to get in. So, you know, everybody has their own lane. And I would love to do a party out there if I got together with a Long Island promoter. But I just know me personally, business-wise, it wouldn't be the best business move for me to do a party in Long Island, if you understand where I'm coming from.
Right. Mm. I totally understand. Well, I just want to say again that I am a fan, and God bless you on all that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thanks for being a fan of me just being a black man trying to stay out the way and stay positive. You know, that's what's about, positive people doing positive things. That's all I'm about. That's all I preach.
Exactly.
All right. We have another caller for you, Isaiah. We're going to bring them on.
No problem.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm just laughing at that crazy lady.
Oh, she at OZ right now, getting them 2-for-1s in.
Doing a wobble at that.
All right, then.
But how you doing, sir?
I'm back.
Okay. I didn't really understand about doing the party in Long Island. Like, there are spots, you know, there's spots out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the crowd, of course, is different. But there's no good parties in Long Island. So everybody mm-hmm. that always travel to the city. So it would be nice, you know.
Basically, like if I lived in Long Island,
mm-hmm.
I could build a base in Long Island. Like
right.
like right now, I got this program called Life After Basketball, right? And I
mm-hmm.
do kids camps in the Bronx. And when I do my camps on Saturdays in the Bronx, I get like 100 parents coming to the Bronx. Now, if I told these same parents I got a camp in Long Island, I probably have 3 people show up. It's because
that's
of the
not true.
No, I'm being honest. Like, it's the location. It's
right.
Like, it's, Long Island is Long Island. Like, I'm not saying
that
kids with parents wouldn't show up, but the
mm-hmm.
people I know wouldn't show up because it's too far. So
right.
if you got a choice, it's like if you got a choice to go get chicken from a chicken spot on Kansas Fried Chicken in Long Island or drive all the way to the Bronx and get Kansas Fried Chicken, why would you go all the way to the Bronx to get Kansas Fried Chicken? You get it right there in Long Island. The
right.
drive don't make sense to travel. So my whole thing is that I would love to do something in Long Island. Like, even if I collab with a Long Island promoter, but as
mm-hmm.
far as the business-wise, it's like bringing liquor to a church. Who's going to buy it?
Right, right.
Certain things
all
don't
right.
make sense. Like, if Diddy could sell Syrah every Sunday in church, he would. But he can't.
Right.
Not saying he don't want to, but he can't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, see, now I understand. Now I understand.
You understand?
But
like,
when you
I'm
can...
gonna, I'm, yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. That's okay.
So I'm from the Bronx. I'm from the Bronx. So it's like everything I do is the Bronx because the Bronx supports me. I love to support everywhere else, but I just know until I branch off or do something bigger,
mm-hmm.
I know Long Island's not going to support me. Where if I do a party in Long Island, I might get people to come out. Yo, yeah, losing Isaiah. Who? What? You might never heard of me. I'm not going
right.
to that place. I don't know. But the Bronx and Harlem, they
mm-hmm.
know me. So it's like, oh, losing Isaiah, good guy. Cool, you got a few people that follow him, positive. I'ma go there, safe. Long Island, I don't have that. I feel I would have to build that. So it just would make sense as far as being a promoter, and I think that's any promoter would pull sound what I'm saying.
Right, being a promoter from the city, pretty much.
Exactly. I do Atlantic City too. Like I do Atlantic City once in a while. Like every 2 months, we get buses and we drive up to Atlantic City 40 Club. But once again, I'm taking my crowd to the party. So if I do something in Long Island,
right.
I would have to get buses and take them to Long Island. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. Okay. See, now I get it. But when you do your parties in the city, are you doing parties for, like, say, 21 and over? Or is it adult, old crowd,
well,
you know, like the 13 and
over? I try to stay. I'm not going to see my age on here. Matter of fact, I'm seeing my age on here. I'm 35 years old, so I don't have that 21 crowd no more. When I was 21, I had that crowd. Now I have that 30 and over crowd, but it's illegal to turn down somebody who's 22, 23 to get in your spot. But I advertise
right.
25 and older to get
okay.
there, just to keep it a healthy, safe environment. That's my whole thing. Like, I don't want people to come in there 35 and feel like they partying with their daughters or their sons. So
right.
I try to advertise. You know, I don't on my information. I don't even put no age group. I just try to like advertise no hoods, no hats, no do rags, no. This, no, that scare to deter the young boy from coming in. And no disrespect to the young boys, but everything's not for everybody. You might have that club for the young boys. I don't want
right.
the young boys at my party or the young girls. No disrespect.
Okay. Mm. All right, I get it. So make sure you give your information so we can, some of the Long Island people can come out to the city to party.
Yes, ma'am. I will do. And thanks for calling in. And I appreciate the support and everything.
You're welcome. Take care.
No problem.
Now, Isaiah, let me ask you, how do you deal with the fact of the jealousy? You understand? Because, you know, a lot of promoters feel like, okay, well, his event is doing more, getting more of the crowd than my event doing. So I'm going to try to do what I got to do to get his event to sabotage his event. You know, it's another promoter. How do you deal with that jealousy situation?
Well, I don't, like me, with the jealousy thing, I don't make, one thing about people, you as a man, you shouldn't make nobody else feel less of a man. So when you walking around, like me, I'm humble. My name is Losing Isaiah. If you don't know I'm Losing Isaiah, you wouldn't know because of where I at. I don't walk around. If you're jealous of me, I will never know. And my thing is that, what do I have to make you jealous of me? You're probably doing better than me. You probably got the house or the Mercedes-Benz outside. I'm regular Joe Blow, man. So if you're jealous of me, you're in trouble. I got a regular city job. I work. I got a regular car parked outside. I'm not married to no model. Like, I'm regular Joe Blow. So if you're jealous of me, you're jealous of something that I don't, like, whoops, I have my education, my degree. But other than that, I'm a regular guy. Like, a guy in a party might have more than me, but it's not about what you have. It's who you are. Like, when I wake up every day and I look in the mirror, I'm blessed. I could be in the feds. I could be dead. I grew up in the most notorious section in the Bronx. I survived that time and section. So I'm blessed. And I'm high up life. I don't need to have all the materialistic things to make me happy. I play poker. I go to the movies. I chill with my daughter. She's in Catholic school. So if you're jealous of that, then I respect it. But if you're jealous of stuff I got, I ain't got much more than what you got, man. So all the jealousy, like, I watch and I learn, and if I see something somebody got, I'll try to put it together and make it work for me. But I don't think anybody's jealous of me. Like, Losing Isaiah, I'm cool with everybody, man. Losing Isaiah is one of the most humblest guys you probably gonna meet. You know what I mean? And that's why I think I'm successful as far as my parties. Like, I do OZ Tavern by myself. I got my boy Money Mark that helps me out here and there, but I do it by myself. Like, one thing promoters gotta know is you don't have to have a zoo, 1,000 people at your event all the time. No, you gotta get a spot, broker your deal that's comfortable for you, and have 100-150 people there every week and be comfortable. Like, at OZ Tavern, it's not the biggest spot, it's not the best spot, it's not the worst spot, but I'm comfortable with my deal.
Exactly.
I brokered my deal where I'm comfortable every week at my spot. So, you know, somebody, you might have a promoter that got a party every month with 5 promoters, and they probably walk out of there with $300. That's their business. I got my spot, small, 150 people every Friday. I'm comfortable. And it's a healthy, safe environment. That's one thing. When you do it by yourself, you policing your crowd. When you collab with 4 promoters and 5 promoters, you got to worry about this promoter bringing his crowd, that crowd. Now, you got 5 gangsters clashing. Chaos. Could be chaos. You know what I mean? So I'm at that age where I learn, and I do spots by myself. And no, I'm not the biggest promoter. My parties don't have 5,000 or 500, but I do my little 150, 200 every Friday. I go home to my family. We go out to eat. We go, you know what I mean? I pay my bills. I'm cool. I'm enjoying life, man. Listen, man, cable's on. I can go away on the summertime, and that's what it's about. I'm living life, man. I could be in somebody's jail, I could be dead, and I'm not. So that's what's important. People be thinking, yo, I got a zoo, or yo, I'm the biggest party promoter in New York City. Okay, but you live with your mother. Or, okay, well, you're walking, you're on a train. Like, okay, but you ain't taking care of your kids. Like, you got to deal with the real big picture. You know what I mean? I'm big on the big picture. Like, I'm comfortable in my skin, I'm enjoying life, and I'm happy.
I definitely feel you. Now, let me ask you, what made you want to be a promoter?
I didn't want to be a promoter. Like, my name is Losing Isaiah from the Rucker. If any of you ask anybody, I led the Rucker in scoring the first year in Rucker. I didn't want to play in Rucker. All my friends and family asked me to play out there. I went to Rucker. You name any ball player, I led them in scoring, and then, you know, me playing with all these different teams, I got cool with all these different artists. Like, I played for the Rough Riders, and I went to summer jams with Kiss, Styles, and all that. So, you know, when you're in that world, I played ball against Mason, Cam, and them. So now I'm playing ball. I did my first party with Lord Sweet and Peter Guns, and I managed Lord Sweet after that. And then, as you know, it came with the territory. Like, I was a ball player. Everybody know me for playing ball. You know what I mean? And then after that, one led to another. You know what I mean? So that's how I started. I started playing ball, losing Isaiah the ball player, Rucker, King Dome, Dykeman, whatever. Then, you know, I had my little fan base. Did a party one time in the city with Lord Sweet and Peter Guns. I seen how I made some money, it was easy money. And I had a little following. You know, girls always follow ball players. And then from there, the promoting thing came. And, you know, I'm a good dude overall as far as positivity. And it just followed.
So what would you say is the best thing about being a promoter?
The best thing about being a promoter is, you know, hopefully, like, just being humble, you get to meet people and you get to know people. Like, the females come with it. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's like, I don't ever try to holler at females no more. Like, them days go over. Like, it comes with the territory. Like, when I walk down the street, people be telling me, yo, you my Facebook friend or you my Instagram friend. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. Like, I'm not using Facebook to screw no females. I use Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that mainly for my promotion. But, you know, you have so many friends and followers that they know who you are. You don't know who they are. And I'm grateful for that. But when I see anybody that tell me that, oh, thank you. Thanks for coming out. And I never try to holler, like, as far as, like, yo, get on me or nah. Like, I'm at the age where it's business more. When I was younger, before Facebook, MySpace, I was an animal. I was hollering at every girl on MySpace. But, you know, now as you get older, it's like, you know, I use it more as business. Like, I have so many female friends that it's just friends, but we're not sexually active, that it's amazing to me that it's business now. You know what I mean? It's really business. So that's basically it.
Now, what would you say is the worst thing about being a promoter?
The worst thing about being a promoter is that people think that you're making more money than you really are. Because, you know, like me, I'm into fashion, and, like, you know, I wear, like, you know, I got robbed maybe about 6 weeks ago. You know what I mean? Temp robbery. So, you know, people think that you're making this all this money at these parties, but in actuality, like, I make my money off my job. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you're buying diamond rings and watches or mink coats and things like that, people assume that you just this hit money promoter dude, and in reality, I work hard for my money. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't, when I walk out of these clubs, I got a couple of bucks on me, a couple hundred bucks on me. But, you know, the image, they see flyers all over the place, they're like, oh, this kid's getting money, you know. And especially all the real street dudes are home now. They did their 10 years and 15, so they're home. So when they see promoter, they automatically think lunch meat, like, this thing's getting money. Because in the 80s, promoters would get money. But nah, the game changed. Like, it ain't like that no more. Where the promoter might be taking losses, or he might just be getting by. You know what I mean? But so the worst part of it is just being somebody's lunch meat. Like, at the end of the night, nigga thinking that you made $7,000. Dog, I only made $250. You want this? You know what I mean? You can have it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that's the thing. So and one last thing. It's no millionaire promoters out here. So if you think you, if I had to deter you from doing something else, don't do parties. It ain't no millionaire promoters out here. Do something else. It's just something to get by.
I definitely feel you. Now, a lot of promoters is dealing with artists now. You know, I come to realize they're getting artists and they're going towards the music industry. That's something you're looking to go into, or you're not planning on going that route?
Been there, done that. I used to manage Lord Tariq. The industry game is cool to book it. I did it. I was doing Cadillac. I mean, I was doing Phuket every Thursday with a bunch of promoters, and I was making about, I'm not gonna lie, every Thursday, which is good, 400 every Thursday. We used to book. We booked the Kid Pooch Hall. We booked Red Cafe. We booked different artists, and you know, it's a good look for the crowd. But end of the day, I'm walking out of there with $400, which is good on a if you party and make $400 on a Thursday, it's cool. But me now on a Friday, I make more than that with no artists. And I'm doing it by myself. So artists do that. It's cool, and I respect it. But then you bring out every hood. Like, if I book Jadakiss, I don't know what to expect. You know what I mean? I'm at the age where I don't want that. I don't need the zoo. I don't need the chaos. I just want it to be where people come out and say, yo, I don't care if it was 60 people there. I had a good time. I got home safe with my family, and I'm coming out next week. I don't want 800 people at my party. There's some people that do. I don't want it. I'm cool with my 100 to 200 people every week, and everybody have a good time and get home safe to their family. But anybody else doing what they do, what works for them, works for them, and I respect that. And I'm not shooting nobody else down. But I'm at the age of my point in my career where I'm not doing that no more. Like, if somebody tell me Alicia Keys or something, a big venue, cool. But I don't want. I'm not doing nothing as far as every week or artists and all that. I've been there, done that. That's for the new promoters come out. The LeBron James of the games and the Chris Pauls of the games and all that. Kyrie Irving.
All right, I definitely feel you. So, you know, Isaiah, I want to tell you it was definitely an honor having you on. Why don't you get the people all your information, let them know what you got going on and what's going down tonight and the upcoming events you got going.
Okay, well, basically, you know what I mean, every Friday I'm at OZ Tavern. I do different things, you know what I mean? I do wine tastings, fish fries. Tonight I got a thing called Candles and Cupcakes. I'm giving out candles and cupcakes. It's everybody's free till 11. I don't do much 10 after. We do 2-for-1 till 11. Once in a while, I do one also with different promoters. If it's a nice, sexy event, they'll call me, yo, losing, get down with this party, take an event, I'll do that. You can also go to YouTube, check out my thing I'm doing called Life After Basketball, What You Gonna Do When the Ball Stop Bouncing. Basically, my thing with the kids I do, you know what I mean? I'm still into my basketball thing. And my Facebook is Losing Isaiah Francis. My number is 646-627-4404. Y'all can call me. I don't owe nobody no money in these streets, so y'all can call me, text me, email, gmail. And it's basically, I'm regular, man. Like, I'm a regular dude. You catch me anywhere, any given day. I support all promoters. You catch me at Body, Phuket. I run around the Bronx all the time by myself, Harlem by myself, and that's what it is, man. Much success to the Palace, radio station, all that. I support y'all. You know what I mean?
Yo, we support you, too. And anything, any events, you know, you let us know. And we definitely got your back. Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
Shout-out to everybody, man. Anybody black out here doing something positive, ain't hitting no old ladies over the head for their pocketbook and all that. Whatever you're doing, man. I'm not promoting selling drugs. Even if you're selling drugs, man. Get money. Do what you do. Be safe out here. I just don't like robbery. Just don't rob nobody, man. Get your money. Pack bags. Sell whatever you got to sell. Get money. Just don't steal. I don't like these. Just get money, man.
I definitely feel you. And I want to tell you, you're welcome anytime, Isaiah.
Yes,
it's never a problem. All right?
Yes, sir, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Isaiah, for sure. Losing Isaiah Francis, Daza Divas. All right, y'all. Coming up next, our special guest appearance, Walter Williams from the OJs. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby. All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to GQ Palace Radio. And with me right now, I have the one and only Walter Williams from the OJs. Walter, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick Money. How you doing today?
I'm all right. I want to tell you, it's an honor. It's truly an honor to have you on. I really want to tell you that. And I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time out to join us this evening.
Thank you, Rich. Sounds like you have a very exciting show, and it's an honor to be on it. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate it, you know. Now, to be truthful, like, God bless my grandmother, my mother, my mother is also, she's like a friend of my grandmother, God bless the dead of my grandfather, they wouldn't believe it. They would not believe it. Okay, they love the OJs, they love it. You know, it was, they
thank you
like,
much.
Wow.
We're doing this today. How are you doing today? You all right?
I'm okay. I'm blessed. You know, just taking it one step at a time.
Okay.
You know. Now, let me ask you, how old was you when you first started singing?
I started singing probably around 9 or 10 years old. I just met Eddie. Eddie had two brothers, Tommy and Andrew. And we sang gospel, and I guess we weren't really any good, but the phenomenon of being kids, being little kids and interested in singing gospel, they would let us sing in church on Sunday mornings, and they had a radio program, and they would let us sing on the radio. Well, a little later, when I was probably more like 11 or 12, my father was the choir director at St. Mark Baptist Church in Canton, Ohio, and he had Eddie and I in that choir and taught us some things. And as we got older, those things that he taught us really helped us tremendously in knowing what to do and when to do. And that was the beginning of it in Canton, Ohio.
Wow. Now, who actually came up with the name, the OJs?
Okay. After recording a record in Cincinnati, Ohio, when we were probably 15, 16 years old, we got our first contract with King Records. Didn't have much success with that, but because of that record, we met a disc jockey in Cleveland named Eddie OJ. He took an interest into the group. We established a good relationship with him. And being that he was a radio personality, he couldn't manage us, but his wife did. And from there, he took us to Detroit in hopes to sign with Motown. Well, it didn't happen. The deal that was offered, he didn't like it, so we didn't sign. But we did sign with Barry Gordy's ex-wife, Thelma Gordy. She had her own record label. And we recorded. And before leaving there, they didn't like the name that Sid Nathan at King Records had given us. He gave us a name because he didn't like the name that we had when we got there, which was The Triumphs. He didn't like that, so he named us The Mascots. So when we get to Detroit, he didn't like mascots. So Eddie told him, OJ told him, look, just call them OJ's boys for now, and we'll think of something, we'll get back to you. So probably 3 or 4 months later, I'm at home in Cleveland, and I hear, here's a new one by the OJs. That's how I found out that our names had been changed to OJs, and it's been that since, and we wear it proudly.
Okay. Now, I want to get back to you, but I want to get into you right now, okay?
Okay.
Now, I know in 2009, you completed your first solo project called the CD Exposed.
That's correct.
All right. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Exposed were songs that Don Pearson and I, the guy that helped me produce it and basically did the music with some of the New York musicians and some Cleveland musicians. And I wanted to do songs. I looked carefully for a long, long time, songs that I thought were outstanding songs, R&B, classical, didn't matter. I liked them. I wanted to sing them. They were something different than what OJs would do. So we searched around and searched around, and we come up with songs that I thought would expose me as far as to where my heart is and the kind of music that I really liked and liked to listen to when I am not doing my OJ thing. And that's why it was called Exposed.
Oh, okay. And then, you know, after you're exposed right now, which we're going to play some new material off of, you have your CD, Get Your Feet Off My Cadillac.
Okay. Now, what happened was,
okay.
A lot of my friends over the years that are radio personalities told me that my song actually, my CD actually did not fit their format because they were playing R&B and hip-hop, and it didn't really fit their format. Okay, I accept that. And what I found out is that someone else programs those stations. So I didn't want to lean on them because they are my friends, but I just felt that I needed the support, and it was like they had their foot on my neck. They wouldn't let, because when you do music, I've always felt that the people will make the decision as to what is good and what is bad and what is not listenable or accepted, and I've always felt that way, and actually the people are the ones that decide what's good and what isn't. So Get Your Feet Off My Cadillac, because I have a couple of old vintage Cadillacs, I equated it to they had their foot on my neck, actually their foot on my Cadillac. So I come up with the title, Get Your Foot Off My Cadillac, and I added a couple of new songs to the CD to expose,
okay.
And it was proper and appropriate to change the name. So I ended up with Get Your Feet Off My Cadillac, and I love it. I like it a lot. I like the songs that I did. Major Harris just passed a week or so ago, and certainly Love Won't Let Me Wait is on that album, and we're going to
okay.
do somewhat of a tribute to him, because he did a fantastic job on it, and that was one of the reasons why I added it to mine. I'm a lover of Nat Cole, Bill Withers, and of course, Ain't No Sunshine is on the album, and Nature Boy is on the album. I love all kinds of music. Sinatra's album, it was fitting to end the album with My Way, and I got Eddie to do the big operatic note on the end of it for me. So I had fun with it. I enjoyed doing it. I like it a lot, and I'm going to promote it. I'm going to try to sell it. I'm going to try to let everybody get exposed to it and hear it, and hopefully they'll love it as much as I do.
Yeah, we got some singles that we're going to actually play off of there. We're actually going to play Love Won't Let Me Wait as well.
Okay.
We're going to play that too. Now, what was the difference between Get Your Feet Off of My Cadillac and Exposed? What was the difference between...
Okay, the difference is I added the song that I really think is the hot song on there as far as a single and that will work today, called Smack Dab in the Middle. It's a song that was done probably when I was a kid. Certainly I've heard Ray Charles' version of it. He does big band, and it's bad, but I love Ray anyway. And I added Stevie Wonder, who I love dearly, who is a great talent. And I added Overjoyed. So in doing that, and I took off a song, so in doing that, it changed the album. and I could no longer call it Exposed. I had to change the name and Get Your Fear Off My Cadillac was appropriate.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to get into the first single off of Get Your Feet Off My Cadillac, which is called Smack Dab in the Middle. Tell us about that single.
Smack Dab in the Middle is an old song from back in the day, and I thought by putting a funky groove to it would give it some life, and hopefully the potential of being loved today with that groove up under it. So I tried it, and for the most part, when people hear it, they really like it. And some friends of mine in Shreveport, Louisiana, has created a line dance for it. You can see it on YouTube, and I'm loving it. It's a real groove. I'm liking it.
Okay. Well, we're gonna get into that right now. All right, Darling Divas. Here go one of his smashing singles, William Hart. Smack dab in the middle, right here on GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
Rockin' time and stay away.
Dons and Divas. Welcome back. That was Walter Williams from the OJs. Walter, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. I kind of like that. It got that smooth feeling to it.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, I like that. Now, what made you actually decide to name it Smack Dab in the Middle?
Well, no, that's not the name I gave it. That was the name of the song, but like I said, it's an older song. It's, I don't know, it was probably done in the 40s or the 50s, somewhere in there. But in listening to songs and trying to figure out some new ones that I wanted to do, we came across this particular song. But it wasn't that groove. It was a totally different situation, and we thought if we put a funky groove up under it,
exactly,
we could make it live.
So you put that spice to it.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, that's what's good about it. We actually have a caller on the line for you. We're going to bring them on real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi,
you
good
on the
evening.
Line with Walter Williams from the OJ.
Hi, Walter.
How are you today?
How are you? I am fine.
Good.
I'm such a fan. I'm a big fan of the OJs. I'm a fan of yours. I like the song that I heard so far tonight. Where else can I find your music?
You can find my music on CD Baby and iTunes.
Okay. All right. I want to compliment you on all of your success, and God bless you on everything that you do.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. I certainly appreciate that.
You are welcome. Have a nice evening. God bless.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, Walter, let me ask you, if you could change anything in the music industry that was dealt with in the past, would you? Or would you let it proceed on exactly how it's going?
That's a real good question. I don't know that I would change a lot. I love the way the new technology is happening, and you know, music changes every 7 or 8 years anyway. So change normally is good. Technology has changed. There aren't as many record companies as there used to be because of the internet. And I can't say that it's bad, because I'm seeing people getting a chance to express themselves. I see new venues and new avenues opening up for people who otherwise wouldn't have gotten a chance. So I don't know that I would change anything. Certainly cherished and enjoyed the years from the past, and certainly how we came along and the OJs have come up through the ranks, and the success that we've had, and that's basically because of people and certainly our Black Foundation, and now we have spread it over, certainly after being inducted into the Rock Hall in 2005. So I don't know that I would change anything. I think I would just let it flow and try to stay abreast. And should I have to reinvent myself or reinvent the OJs enough to still be identified as the OJs but fit into the new?
Now, let me ask you, how do you feel about selling your music online and the illegal downloads that's going on with the music today?
Well, right now, there are probably some things that need to be fixed, and certainly they will be. Anytime there's new things happening, there's always a growing period. And once they weed out all of the bugs and things that are not proper, it certainly will be put in proper perspective. We'll be able to move on and move on with success and delight, so that everybody will enjoy music. That's the whole deal. being able to enjoy music, being able to purchase music and listen to music that you like and that personally strikes you. Music is a thing that's done from the heart, from my heart to your heart, from my heart to her heart. And as long as we're able to do it that way, then it'll continue to be meaningful.
Mm. Now, I want to get into another one of your singles, There's No Doubt. But before I get into that, I want to ask you, because, you know, every group, they have their own, you know, specific person. You have the loud one, you have the moody one, and you have the quiet one.
Right.
Which one would you say is the loud, the moody, and the quiet one?
Which one am I?
Yes, which one would you be?
I would probably be the quiet one, but probably the quiet, moody one.
Okay, I can go along with that one. Now, I want to get into your single, There's No Doubt. Tell us about that.
Okay, There's No Doubt. That is the only song on Get Your Feet Off My Cadillac that isn't a remake. I actually wrote that. I wrote it some years ago, and it was just an expression of love and looking at life situations and looking at love situations and trying to write down an expression of how I felt at the time.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into that right now.
Okay.
All right, Don's the Divas. Here's another one of his smashing singles, There's No Doubt, by Walter Williams, off of his new CD, Get Your Feet Off My Cadillac, right here on GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
Oh,
I just love your style, Walter. You still got it. You still got it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
yes.
that. If Rick Money says it's going to be all right, then Rich Money. All right.
Yes, it is. We have another call for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah,
boy. Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
That's good. I just have a couple questions for you.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Kim.
Kim?
Yes, Kim.
Okay, Kim, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
Okay.
Yes, I'm calling
all
from
right.
New York. And, of course, I'm a little young, but I did grow up listening to the OJs. Of course, my parents are fans. My dad is deceased, but my mom was a big fan, and she doesn't dance, but she can sit there and move her head. And she
okay,
definitely
well, you'll
loves
certainly
her.
Have to thank her for me that she turned you on to OJ music.
And I'm sure she heard you because she's listening, and she just doesn't want to press one.
Okay.
Because she's not a talker. But after this CD, well, when did this CD come out, the one that we're listening to tonight?
Okay, this one came out, let me see, how long ago? Probably about 4 or 5 months ago, this version of this CD. This CD was a CD called Exposed before we put new songs on it and changed the title to Get Your Feet Off My Cadillac.
Okay. And are you working on another one, or this is going to be it for a little while?
This will be my solo project for a while, but we are working on a new OJ CD as well, and they will probably all come out at the same time because we're talking to the same record company is interested. So as we speak, the deal is being scrutinized, and probably one day next week we'll sign off on it and start things in motion.
Okay. And when you sample, like, you know, remake the music, someone else's music, do you have to get permission first, or you can pretty much just sample it as long as you reference some part of the way they did it on it?
Okay, what I did is I didn't really sample anything. I actually recorded new tracks, but even at that, you still have to get permission from the publisher, and you have to get a license to actually record it and put it on an album for sale. And we did all of that before actually recording it.
Oh, okay. Because I was listening to the show earlier, and one of the callers had mentioned that, you know, if you mention the person who originally wrote the song, you know, that that's okay. And I just wasn't sure, you know, about that. So I figured who better to ask than you. I figured you would
yeah.
be able
well,
to.
Well, sampling
that.
Is a little different. That means that you took a piece of someone else's song and inserted it in your song.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a sample. I didn't do any of that. I actually went in and recorded a whole new track of the way I wanted to sing the song.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
Uh-huh, but I still had to get permission. I still had to get permission from the publisher.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wow, okay, okay. Well, I must say, out of the two I've heard, I like this, the No Doubt one. I think that that's definitely, that's a hit. That's definitely
well, thank
a hit.
You.
I like that. I like that.
Thank
and
you
even
so
though,
much.
You know,
and now it's you and Rich Money. So that means the world to me. That's the only one on the album that I actually wrote. That is not a remake. The other songs on the album are remakes. Like Sinatra's My Way, Bill Withers' Ain't No Sunshine, Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You, or Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. I did a lot of different songs, What a Wonderful World. I did songs that OJs wouldn't normally have done.
Okay.
And I did them, and I did them my way. One of my very favorites on this particular album is Love Story, a theme from The Godfather. And I did it my way. I did what my emotions said it should be like, said it should sound like.
Okay.
So you'll have to get the whole CD and
okay.
sit down and give it a listen and then tell us what you think.
Okay, and where is that? Where can we find that?
You can find it on CD Baby or iTunes.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to get me a copy. I'm going to have to maybe surprise my mom with a copy for Christmas, though.
Fantastic. And you have a great Christmas as well.
Thank you so much
for calling in.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay.
Now, Walter, let me ask you, what made you actually want to do a solo project?
Well, it was music that I wanted to do, and I knew OJs were never going to do this kind of music. So I've been wanting to do it a long, long time. And so one day I got up the courage and the money and grabbed my buddy Don Pearson, who was a writer, arranger, producer, and we went in the studio and started kicking around some ideas and listened to a whole lot of different songs, and it came down to the ones that we chose to go on this solo project.
Okay, I want to get into another one of your singles, Love Won't Let Me Wait. But first, I want to ask you, if you could do a duet with any of the artists that's out right now, which artist would it be and why?
Okay, if I was going to do a duet, I would probably choose a beautiful young lady to do a duet with. And there are. Yeah.
Okay.
And there are so many out there. Well, okay, I did a duet in Fighting Temptations with Beyonce. The song,
okay.
He Still Loves Me. So, of course, I would love to do a duet with Beyonce. But also there's Mary J.
Mm-hmm.
There is, if we want to go old school, there's Patty, there's Gladys. If we want to stay with the new generation, there is Alicia, there is Mariah, and of course, I got to stay with the top, you know, because with the top, I'll get the best results.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny, because that duet that you got with Beyonce, we actually have a GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. And we play that every Sunday for like the theme song of Spiritual Sunday before the host come on and the minister. And I never knew. Yep, every Sunday.
That was a fantastic song. Jimmy Jam Terry Lewis produced mm-hmm. that song for Fighting Temptations, the movie we did together. And the song is phenomenal. Beyonce and I had the most lead parts in it, but certainly there's Angie Stone, there's Melba Moore, there's Eddie, LaVert. So they all got a piece of it, but Beyonce and I had the basic load to carry on it, and certainly she did her part, and I did the best I could.
Yeah, well. That's a phenomenal song, I'm going to tell you. It really is. I want to get into your single, but we have another call. I want to take this other caller, and then we're going to get into
okay.
our next single, Love Won't Let Me Wait, all right?
Okay.
Hello, caller, you there?
Hello, how are you?
I am fine. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Who am I talking
to?
Where are you from?
This is Kia, and I'm from New Jersey.
Did you say Kia?
Yes, just like the car.
Oh, that's a beautiful name. Beautiful
Thank
name.
Thank you. Aren't you sweet? Thank you.
You're welcome.
I grew up listening to your music from my, I haven't seen you for the first time in Miami last year. You were with
okay.
Patti LaBelle. You were with Patti LaBelle. I think Beverly May, I know Babyface was there. I'm telling you right now, my mother and my aunt, I won't say I was embarrassed, but you should have seen them through your whole song. They were the whole time at this concert. And me and my cousin were just looking like we were.
That is the best compliment anyone can give you when they enjoy your
music
and your concert.
They enjoy. I did not know who these women were when we were with them.
So they had a good time.
They had a good time, and we still laugh to this day about that concert. Cause one of my aunts didn't make it, so that's how I got to go on the ticket. And we got there, and then, you know, they were in the whole time. We just like looking at them, like, when are y'all gonna sit down? You know, just they were singing all y'all songs. But I had a great time. It was the first time hearing the OJs in concert. But of course,
oh, okay, that was the first for you.
Well, thank you so much
for
coming
out.
Yes, Stairway to Heaven.
Great.
I love that song. That's my little song on my computer, Stairway to Heaven. So I'm a big fan of that song.
Ah, okay. Okay. That's one of my favorites, too. So that's the one they really enjoyed. That's the one
they clowned on.
They
enjoyed all your songs. If you would have seen them. I'm surprised you probably would have seen these women. They were just, you know. I just could not believe my mother was just acting this way. I just couldn't believe it was her. Believe me, I've never been to a concert with her, and that's probably the last concert I'm going with her.
Yeah, I love it when they have a good time.
They do.
I mean,
she had a great time. She had a great time. And it was my aunt's birthday, because my aunt lives in Miami. It was her birthday. It was her birthday, so that's how come. But my other aunt couldn't make it. I got to go on that ticket, but I had a great time just watching my mother and my aunt enjoy the OJs. The whole entire time.
That's a great story. You'll have to thank them for me.
Oh, I will. And good luck with the upcoming album.
Thank you.
I'm definitely going to download my copy.
Thank you so much.
And I guess the new upcoming OJ concert is going to be coming out soon, I guess. Or a reunion,
yes,
another reunion or something.
Exactly. We're talking now about touring this summer and calling it Family Reunion, and we haven't decided definitely on the acts as yet, but we are trying to get Miss Gladys Knight to headline.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And hopefully she'll say yes, and we'll be out this summer.
Well, I hope you do say yes.
Show.
Y'all songs are played at every family reunion. I'm telling you that right now. Every family reunion, the OJs are played at.
And you know what? That's a good thing, because when we're out touring during the summer and the hotels that we stay at, a lot of the times when we get ready to check in, there are families there
having their
family reunion.
Family reunion, exactly.
It turns into a really wonderful thing in the lobby of the hotel.
I could imagine. Believe me, I've been to your concert. I could imagine how it is.
Yes, it's something that we really enjoy. So we're going to call it Family Reunion this year, I think, and we're going to go out and probably do 15, 20 dates.
Oh, well, great. Maybe I'll get a chance to see you again. Well, great success to you on the upcoming album. Great success on the OJ's reunion album.
Well, thank you so much, Kia. Thanks for calling. And certainly, if we come to your area, bring your mom and your aunt.
Believe me. I don't know. They probably don't want to take me. They probably want to invite me and my cousin. They probably will be there. They probably won't take us. We probably get our own tickets. Have to get our own ticket. They won't front us no tickets. So, you know, we were too busy looking at them like, are you kidding me? Y'all are like 18 years old up here. But they had a great time. So we're going to get our own ticket. They won't get us a ticket.
That's the bottom line. I'm glad they enjoyed it.
Yes, they did. They really, believe me, they were 60-something women. I'm looking at them like, oh, my God. They had a great time. did.
Yeah, that's a great story.
It is. They had a great time. But, again, great success to you on the new upcoming album and the OJ's reunion, which I heard about. I know that, I probably knew it, something was coming in the works.
Well, of course, we're going to try to make it as best we can.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll be in your area and you can come out. Maybe I'll get a chance to meet you.
Oh, okay. I'll get, yes. So believe me, I'm not even going to tell my mother that part.
Okay.
She'll probably be freaking out. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
All right. All right. Watch, I want to get into your next single.
Okay.
Love Won't Let Me Wait. Now, what actually made you decide to do that one?
I love the song. I love the performance that Major did on it. And very sad to hear that he passed a week or so ago. And I'm really glad I put it on my album now. It's a great song, and he did one heck of a job on it. So I liked it, and I just wanted to make it my own. Other artists did it as well, but it's that kind of song. It's a song that lyrically it's well written. Melody wise, it's well put together. So it was a natural.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into that right now.
Okay.
All right. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's another smashing single from Walter Williams off his new LP, Get Your Feet Off My Cadillac. Love Won't Let Me Wait. Right here on GQ Palace Radio. Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Because of you, and love won't let me
take the blame. Cause love won't let me wait.
Like the OJs have afforded me
the avenues to be able to express myself in other ways.
Mr. William Williams, I want to thank you for joining us. Would you like to get the people the information, let them know how they can get the CD and everything?
I certainly appreciate that, Rich Money. They can find the CD on CD Baby or iTunes. And please feel free to call and get a copy. And I know you'll love it. My heart to your heart. That's the way we design our music, from the OJs, from my solo project. That's the only way I will have it. From my heart to your heart. That gets the best results. Rich Money, I appreciate you having me on GQ Palace, and I've enjoyed it. It's been an experience.
It was an honor to have you on. It was definitely an honor. Is there any special things or shout outs you want to give?
I love my audience because they've shown me love over the years. I love my black foundation, my black base. Certainly we've crossed over, and I'm loving that too, and especially since the induction in 2005 in the Rock Hall, we're getting audiences from everywhere and everybody, and we're seeing generations coming to our concerts now. We're seeing, like the story the young lady told of her mom and her aunt having a good time, and but they brought her to the concert as well, the other generation. And I'm loving that. I'm enjoying that, and I sincerely thank all of the public that has supported us and all of the radio personalities like Rich Money and other people that have given us this opportunity.
And I want to tell you, anytime, we're going to definitely rotate the song, but if it's something new, don't hesitate to send it in so we can definitely do it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
And like I said, we already playing the one for Spiritual Sunday. We still love it. So that's like, that's
okay.
Like, that's actually the intro song for the Spiritual Sunday.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That's good news, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I really want to thank you again for joining us this evening, Mr. Walter Wood. It's definitely a
thanks for having me.
All right. Walter Williams from the OJs, Dons and Divas. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all the callers. I want to thank the guests, my special guest, Mr. Walter Williams from the OJs. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. That's it for tonight's show. I'm your host, Rich Money. Have a safe and blessed weekend. Hope to hear from y'all next weekend. Don't forget to tune in Sunday from 7 to 9 to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday with Lavina Polite and Minister Teresa Sanders. Monday, Love, Life, and Loyalty with Steph Dallas. And we have Relation Lies and Deceits with Dr. Feelgood. Steph Dallas is from 7 to 9. Dr. Feelgood is from 9 to 10. Please, no children, adults only for Monday's show. Tuesday, be sure to tune in to GPS, GQ Palace Sports, with the mayor as he puts you on the bigger picture. If you say you know sports, tune in to GPS, GQ Palace, and we'll see. On Wednesdays, we have the Diva Squad from 8 to 10, the same time as GPS Sports. Diva Squad, they play the hottest slow jams and R&B, and they also discuss their grown and sexy topics, so make sure you tune in for that. Once again, I'm your host, Rich Money. Have a safe and blessed weekend. Good night.
Tell me what's up. Don't it seem like I'm always there when it matters, but missing most of the other time, a terrible pattern. The rewards I see from working have made me an addict. There's way more people that want it than people that have it. I don't get it, I would hate to think I tricked them. They fall victim to my system, guess I sure know how to pick them. And I'm always her regret, yeah, I'm always her regret. And I always make it harder on whoever's coming next. It goes up and down, it's just up and down. She's crying now, but she'll laugh again, cause we on the rise and she here with us. And expensive shit just keeps happening and she loves it. Stares at me like, who does this? And we hold hands while I pray that she's not the type to hold grudges. I'm wrong.
Bad boys ain't no